There you are, Bruce.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. That's quite all right.
All right.
Anyway, let's let Richard continue. And, Richard, I wanted to make sure that you also stated to the people that, you know, you're willing to work with John and all of that, as well as, you know, let's make sure we get all of the positive stuff in there as well as the negative.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be no problem. There would be some fence mending that we would have to do, and the trust level have to be restored. But I trust the people of this country, and John Darish can do what he does and be who he is, but we have a country to save, and we need to come together to do that. And I'm going to say that again. We have got to come together. That might mean changing what you've been doing in order to find common ground that is more productive in really reaching the goals that we want to reach. We have seen tremendous success, and I'll be the first one to admit that it's not nearly enough. But every one of us know that already. But we've seen tremendous success with sheriffs. And I was just getting ready before the break to tell you about a sheriff in New Mexico in Eddy County, which is where Carlsbad Caverns is located, who stood in the way for a citizen who was having his land and property and home and everything else confiscated by the IRS. And this good sheriff, London, Scott London is his name, went and told the IRS, you're not going to do that. Now, if we were doing the common law grand jury thing, what would we do? Go form a jury and work to get an indictment against these people and then have the sheriff serve it, you know, several days after the fact? This citizen called the sheriff. The sheriff responded. The sheriff was there, and the sheriff took care of it. And this is what we're after. We want that buffer. We want that check and balance, and we want it right now. And this is where we need to focus our energy. This is where the common law grand jury movement has had it backwards. We have got to reach out to the sheriffs. We have got to reach out and let them know we support them, that we're here for them, that we want to form posses with them, that we are here to defend them, work with them, be their eyes and ears, be part of their performance in keeping the peace. And as James Madison said, erecting the barriers against the encroachments of the federal authority. And so we do that, and in the meantime, we're training these sheriffs, we're working with them, they're seeing our loyalty and support, and we stop the tyranny that we're all so concerned about. But if you lead with the common law grand jury thing, the sheriff's not going to get it. There is not one sheriff in the country that knows and understands this or that's on board with it. You might have talked to some. They might have given you some tacit approval or a nod. There's not one sheriff in the country that is ready and willing to do what the common law grand juries are set up to do. Not one. So what do? Keep going with what we're doing? Press harder? No, we've got to start over. Let's work within the posse structure, within citizen volunteer auxiliary groups, get more involved with the sheriff, get the sheriffs trained in the oath of office, and be true guards of the Constitution, working with we the people to create these barriers and to create a huge buffer system so that all of us live in a free county. I've been a sheriff. I work with sheriffs on a daily basis all across this country. I've had a few sheriffs tell me and ask me about the common law grand jury thing. They said, hey, we hear that you're part of that. If you're part of that, then we're not going to be part of the CSPOA. That stuff is kooky, and I'll tell you right now, folks, most of the sheriffs that have heard about the common law grand jury think it's kooky. That's just the way it is. That's a fact of life, and they're not getting it, and so we need to take a different approach. I'm saying this. Let's, all of you, join with us in creating these constitutional sheriffs and constitutional counties and form We the People posses and work really closely and arduously with the sheriffs in erecting the barriers and creating this huge buffer for when bureaucrats come in to destroy freedom and liberty and land and confiscate guns and property and destroy businesses and families, that we are ready to respond immediately. Not with jury procedures, but immediately as defenders of the county with the sheriff. That is what I propose. That is what I believe we need. It is not anything for me. It is what I stand for in restoring liberty to America. That's all I'm about. And some people have said, oh, Sheriff Max, patriot for profit. I would love to have millions of dollars so that we can promote this. But we can do it first because we dedicate ourselves within our hearts. And that's what it's going to take. And it's going to, if we're going to really come together, then that's what we're going to have to do.
And if I can step in there for a minute and make a comment that I actually wanted to make earlier, and that is that, you know, I've been reaching out to all of these different groups to try to make things happen, and it's not that I don't believe in the common law grand jury, and it's not that the common law grand jury is not in the Constitution, but I will share with you now what Veterans Today and their investigators had to say to me, and that is that they have intel that a lot of these common law grand juries were set up by the CIA to get people so that they felt like they were doing something that was good, but it was going to go nowhere. And what Veterans Today would rather see, and it's not that we can't do the same things that we're doing, people. I'm not saying that at all. They would rather see it labeled as a citizens oversight group working with the sheriffs and all of that. And, you know, Sheriff Mac, for you, there's a couple other things I wanted to say. One, I find, you know, you and I haven't known each other that long. However, I have found you to really be a man of integrity, and I don't consider you just somebody that I know. I also consider you a good friend of mine now, and I'm very picky about who I choose as friends. One of the things that I want you to listen to is that all of these people in the Colorado grand jury here, I have worked with them personally. And these are some of the most dedicated and amazing people. I mean, I may have a PhD in law, but these guys put me to shame. And I'm not afraid to say that. I mean, the work and the research that they do is absolutely amazing. And all of the people's hearts are in the right place. They're trying to do the right thing and make a difference. And that's why I'm on this kick that we all need to find a way to put our differences aside and come together. We're all working for the same thing, and that is to remove this corruption and evil from our government and restore a constitution that this country hasn't seen for a long time. And I yield.
Thank you, Bruce. And Richard, this is Steve. And all you have to do is say, Steve, and somebody will answer on this call.
Yeah, you've got about 20. We have like 20 Steves on the call, so I kid you not.
Five or more.
Yeah, but this is Rice. But to add to what Bruce just said, one of the things that we found here is this goes way beyond the county government, and it's an organization called County Technical Services, and they provide bonds and insurance for all the elected officials. But most of the sheriffs and elected officials don't have bonds.
That's true.
You know, the county has paid for them, but unless it is countersigned by a local representative, it's null and void. But it shows that they have a bond. On top of that, most all of the commissioners in the counties in the state are members of CTSI.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah. So it's... it's endemic here, and I suspect there's no reason to believe that it's not something similar is not going on in other states.
Well, that's all part of the process of educating and working with our sheriffs. A lot of them don't know they're required to have bonds. Some of them don't care if they have bonds, and some of them don't understand the importance of being bonded. A lot of them don't understand the importance of the oath of office. They swear an oath to something that they've never studied, they don't know anything about, and there's a lot to go on for these people to understand their jobs and the issues that are facing all of us that are on this call tonight. And we've got a lot of work to do.
And unfortunately, I absolutely agree with you. Unfortunately, most of our sheriffs are told when they take office. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but most of our sheriffs are, whether they're told that outright or not, they're led to believe that they're officers of the court.
Well, they
which
think
they are not.
They're mistaken in two aspects of that. They think that they're puppets of the legislatures, and they also think they're puppets of the court. So whether they think they're officers or not, they don't understand the separation of powers, that we work for the executive branch, and the other branches don't control one of the other branches. So it's so fundamental that we lack so much and that we're so ignorant in what's going on. And that's why I say going in and discussing common law grand jury with these sheriffs who don't even know the first thing about the oath of office or the Constitution just isn't going to work. And so we need to start with A, B, C, D. We need to start over. We need to get these guys constitutional training. Bruce was with me when I spoke at an event in Pueblo, Colorado three or four weeks ago. And there were two new sheriffs there, and they were both very excited about the Constitution, about what I had to say, and wanted to work with us. If we get them involved first with common law grand jury ideas, they're not going to get it. But they are ready to be constitutional sheriffs, and they want to learn. And that's where we need to start. Start with the oath of office. Start with the Second Amendment. Start with the Bill of Rights. And let these guys know that there's other sheriffs doing this, and let them meet and talk with these other sheriffs across America who are already doing this, and let some of those other sheriffs be the training officers for these seminars that we need to put these sheriffs through. And we need to realize, too, let's be realistic about this. There's 3,080 sheriffs in this country. There's a huge movement to destroy the office of sheriff in this country, especially in the East. But out of those 3,000, if we get 1,000, give me a third, let's focus on getting 800 to 1,000 sheriffs to be constitutional sheriffs. There will be no stopping us. And I'll say this, if we're funded there'll be no stopping us. And the reason is because we can do this bigger, better, and faster. Putting, and I'm just saying is if we were totally funded, that we could do ads on Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Alex Jones and Glenn Beck and increase a lot of the size of the alternative radio stations and media that are really supportive of what we're trying to do in restoring the Constitution, but really take this to the airwaves, take this to the newspapers, get a lot of support for this, and let's identify the 800 to 1,000 sheriffs that will do this or that are at least willing to try, who have an attitude of, I will defend the Constitution like Sheriff London just did for his citizen in New Mexico, and take it to the next level. I'll admit Sheriff London has got to do more and know more. But he had the intelligence to call me and to ask for help, and we've been getting him the help, and Joe Bannister is getting involved with this, and Chris Ann Hall, and we're trying to help the situation. But, you know, we had a sheriff with the courage to tell the IRS, hold on there, you're not going to do this until due process has been exhausted for my citizen, for my constituent. And they even threatened to arrest the sheriff. And he said, if you get in the way, you could be arrested for obstruction of justice. And he told the U.S. Marshals, I'm the sheriff of this county, and I guarantee you I'm not going to jail. And so that's the same thing we want out of 800 to 1,000 sheriffs in this country. If we focus on that, my dear friends, we can win this. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting.
Absolutely agree. You know, and of course, it's a big project. And that's was one of my hopes for doing this conversation tonight. Is so, you know, I will send you the download, and you know, you can put this up on your website. It'll, you know, anybody can post it anywhere, so that we can at least get the conversation started.
Absolutely.
Richard, if you would you explain to people how you got involved in this and what the very thing was that triggered you to start? Because that's an amazing story, and I think people need to hear it.
Well, how far do you want me to go back?
I want you to start with the Brady Bill. Let's start with the Brady Bill and your problems with your own conscience in trying to uphold the Brady Bill that was unconstitutional. Start there.
Okay, well, folks, when I first started in law enforcement, I was the son of an FBI agent. I just wanted to be a cop. I wanted to write tickets and do everything cops are supposed to do, kick in doors, arrest drug dealers, and send people to prison. You know, that's what cops do. But I also was sincere, but I was not a constitutionalist. I'd never read the Constitution, never studied the Bill of Rights, never studied the Founding Fathers' works and words. But something happened to me while I was on patrol writing a lady a ticket. And the good Lord hit me over the head with a 2x4. I had an epiphany. I realized that I was in the wrong, that what I was doing to people was wrong and immoral. And I started asking questions, and I completely started over. Philosophically, in my job and in my life, I started completely over. And I wanted to know why we need police, why we have police, why we have law enforcement, why we have laws, what government is for, why do we have government, why do we need government. And I ran smack in the face, throughout my research, I ran smack in the face of the oath of office. And I started studying the Constitution. I said, I'm not going to be a hypocrite anymore. I'm going to study the Constitution. I'm going to know what this is about. And I'm going to keep my oath of office. I'm going to obey the Constitution and stay a peace officer. And I did. And then I decided after 5 years after that epiphany to move home to Arizona and run for sheriff in my hometown. And you need to realize something. I had never been a public official of any kind, never worked as a deputy sheriff or in law enforcement or public service at all until I ran for sheriff. I hadn't even lived in my hometown for 12 years. But I had some good experience, and I did everything in law enforcement imaginable. And I came home, and I worked really hard, and I was elected in 1988. And I told the people I would enforce the Constitution. And then in 1993, after I was reelected in 1992, the Brady Bill came out, and I was the first sheriff in American history to file a lawsuit against the federal government. And in this case, it was the Clinton administration. And I filed a lawsuit against them to stop the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill did two things. One, it was a huge gun control movement. There were actually five Brady Bills scheduled, each one to be passed after the other year by year. So 5 years would have passed the entire Brady Bill, all five, and the Second Amendment would have been completely gone. Gun shows would have been gone. FFLs would have been put out of business. And ammunition was going to be regulated out of business and out of existence. And so luckily, I had six other sheriffs from across the country join the lawsuit after I filed. And let me tell you the other thing. They threatened to arrest sheriffs if we failed to comply with this idiotic gun control measure. And so the case moved forward rather quickly and successfully.
Let me stop you for a minute. Talk about the moral dilemma you had with the bill in the first place.
Well, the problem with the bill is that it was forcing me to violate my oath of office and participate in gun control. And the federal government literally forcing us to cooperate with them. And
I think you should get into the whole discussion that you had with your wife that night and all of that.
Okay.
Exactly like you told me. I'm sorry, but it's an amazing story.
It's a real powerful thing. A lot of it's very personal, but it's I don't mind sharing it. That's fine.
I'm sorry, I'm making you be personal.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, the BATF came to a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix, and you need to know they did this in just about every state in the U.S. The BATF was assigned and ordered by Washington, D.C., by the White House, to let every sheriff know in the country that we had to do this. And so when they came to Arizona, they told us and handed us a document ordering us to enforce the Brady Bill. And when they did, they read us all this stuff and told us that, you know, the federal government, Congress passed this law. And I said, do you guys know that you have no jurisdiction over the sheriffs of this country? You cannot tell sheriffs what to do. They go, oh, yeah, we can because Congress passed a law. And I said, I don't care if Congress passes 5,000 laws. You cannot tell the sheriffs of this country what to do. And they said, well, you'll have to take that up with somebody else. We're just following what we were told to do, and this is your marching orders. And
following orders.
Following orders. They said it. And mm-hmm. I said, you have no jurisdiction to tell any sheriff what to do, whether, you know, I said, you can pass 5,000 laws. It doesn't mean that you're my boss, and you can't be my boss. I'm elected by the people, and they're my only boss. You're not my boss, and neither is the Congress. I said, what am I supposed to do, call every Monday and ask my congressman what he wants me to do this week? He doesn't pay my salary. He can't fire me. He doesn't hire me. And so there was some fundamental argument there, but it wasn't heated at all. But when they left, it really got heated, and every sheriff was really ticked off about it big time. And I told the other sheriffs, I said, there's no way I'm going along with this. There's no way I can do it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. All the other sheriffs, I was the youngest sheriff in the state at the time, and they all kind of looked at me like I was crazy. But, you know, all of them acquiesced. They didn't want to do it, but all of them acquiesced and said, there's nothing we can do about this. We'll just have to go along as best we can. And I said, no, I said, I can't do that. But so on my drive home, I had a three-hour drive home after the meeting, and I pulled up in my driveway, and it hit me that I was going to sue my own government, that I'm going to sue the Clinton administration. And it really scared me. I didn't want to be Vince Foster, and I didn't trust Bill Clinton any more than his wife or anything else. You know, they're so corrupt and evil, and I didn't want to be added to the list of 116 people that, you know, just came up missing or dead were close to him, anybody who crosses him. And so, you know, but I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go in and tell the house and tell my wife about this, and she's going to talk me out of it. And I'll listen to her, and I won't have to do it. But for some crazy reason, she totally supported me when I told her this. And she says, well, maybe now we finally know why you were supposed to be sheriff. And so the next morning I called the NRA because I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do at all. I had no clue what to do to sue the federal government. And I was not a member of the NRA, but my undersheriff was. And I said, hey, does the NRA have a toll-free number you can call and get advice? I really need some advice. And I told him what I was going to do. And he kind of thought I was crazy. And so I called the NRA, and I finally landed in the office of Richard Gardner. And Gardner was a lawyer. And I told him who I was and what I wanted to do. And he said, Sheriff, we've been preparing the paperwork on this case to go to court, and we've been praying that you would call. And so I was thrilled. They said that they would pay for the whole thing. I told them that I was really appreciative, but that I wanted my own lawyer. They said, well, we're willing to work with your lawyer. That's no problem. And so I said, can you recommend a lawyer out in Arizona who knows and understands the Constitution and the Second Amendment? They said, yes, he used to work for us. His name's Dave Hardy in Tucson. So I called Hardy and retained him as my personal lawyer. And on February 28, 1994, the very day the Brady Bill took effect, I filed in federal district court in Tucson, Arizona, Mack versus U.S., to stop the Brady Bill. And the sheriffs that joined the lawsuit after that, all of us won at the district court level, except the one in Texas. I don't know how a Texas sheriff could lose his gun rights and his state rights. This was all filed on the 10th Amendment, state sovereignty and state rights issues. And then Sheriff Prince and I were consolidated because we're in the same circuit court. He's from Montana. We lost at the Ninth Circuit, which is the San Francisco court. And then Sheriff Prince and I went on to the Supreme Court. They granted certiorari. And December of 1996, we were heard. And on June 27, 1997, the Supreme Court agreed in a 5-4 split that the sheriffs were correct, that the federal government does not have the authority to do this, and that the sheriffs cannot be commandeered and forced into federal service, and that the federal government cannot tell the states to do anything, whether it's to the sheriffs or the legislatures or the governors. They cannot tell us to do anything. But it made it clear also that if we're going to stand against what's going on today, that we must exercise and enforce state sovereignty. Who's going to protect the people from the crimes of the IRS, the crimes of the EPA? Well, the sheriff has that obligation. Many of them don't know they do, but they do. And that's where we come in, and that's where you come in, and that's where we come in working together on this issue of creating constitutional sheriffs, county by county, state by state, and we get as many as we can to stand and be this buffer. I have a book that's out that's called Are You a David? We have got to create Davids who know and understand who the real Goliath is today, and have the courage to go against him and answer the call. And if we stand with our sheriff in the performance of his duties while he is standing as a David, then we'll win this. We will win this.
Yes. Thank you. And all of it sounds like this is very familiar from the standpoint that whether you were aware of it at the time or not, you took a stand. And I will just say that most everybody that is listening to this call at this moment has done the same thing. And that's what's gotten us involved with this common law grand jury. And just like you, you know, we didn't know what we were going to do or how we were going to do it. But we have certainly come together as a group here in Colorado, and we are doing what you're talking about with working with the sheriffs. In fact, we got a very active group in Archuleta County and talking with their sheriff and their newly elected sheriff, who was the undersheriff, and he's getting it. And so, you know, that's encouraging, and that's I really want to open more conversations like this, because it really doesn't matter what we're called, except that I understand that many people don't understand what it is, especially the sheriffs, and but we really can be their best friends. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
If they're going to be constitutional, we can back them up in all kinds of ways.
And I want to emphasize that again. We have got to focus on creating constitutional sheriffs. And I hate to say this way, not common law grand jury sheriffs, constitutional sheriffs. And we got to start with A, B, C, D, so they understand every bit of this process. And you know, I'm glad you're talking with the Archuleta County Sheriff. I guarantee you he doesn't quite understand what all this is about, but he can understand, and he can understand the Bill of Rights. He can understand his oath of office. He can understand that he raised his right arm and swore in God's name to uphold and defend and enforce the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state. And that means he is the guard of the Constitution, he is the keeper of the peace, he is the protector of the people. And if we're working with him on that, wow, you know, that's going to be monumental, absolutely
yeah.
Monumental.
If I can cut in here, this is Bruce. You know, one of the big things that I want to point out to everyone is that, and I know we have a lot of people with the constitutional grand jury, and the constitutional grand jury is written into the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and it should be there. But right now what we need to focus on is getting protection for we the people. All of us are out there trying to fight the government right now, and what the government is doing is throwing a lot of us in jail. We need to stop that. If we have a constitutional sheriff in each of our counties, then we can fight the good fight and not have to worry about that. And that is where I think we all come together. It's not that I disagree at all with the common law grand jury, and I don't think that Richard does either. It's just that too many people don't understand it. But the people understand authority. They understand that their sheriff is the one that is supposed to protect them. They don't know to the extent that sheriff is supposed to protect them, but we need to educate them. But if we can get our sheriffs here in Colorado all constitutional and protecting us, then we can do our work that we need to do as far as removing the corruption in our counties and our cities, and do that alongside with the sheriffs. And they will support that. And that's what we need, people. That's how we win this. And I'm sorry, I know a lot of you follow John Duresh. I have not found him to be honorable. I'm not trying to pass judgment on him or make any of those calls. That's not my place. But with me, he has not been honorable. So in some of the things that they're doing, although they sound good, they're not really giving us the results that we need to protect the people first. If we all have protection, then we can go after this corruption and we can do something with it. And that's why I say that we all need to set our differences aside. I know some of you guys are real heroes for the common law grand jury. I'm not telling you to lose that, okay? And I'm not saying that any of that is wrong. I'm just saying let's set that aside. Let's get our sheriff's constitutional system. They will protect us first, and then let's carry on with what we're doing. Am I correct with that, Richard?
Amen. I will add one other thing. When I was sheriff, we had a confrontation with the Army Corps of Engineers. They wouldn't let us fix a bridge that was washed out on a flood, and they threatened to arrest our county commissioners and the maintenance workers who were trying to fix it. And I threatened to arrest them, and I told them, you're not going to arrest anybody in my county. We're going to fix that bridge, and you're going to stay out of the way. And they got out of the way, and we fixed the bridge. They threatened to arrest us and fine us $50,000 a day. No one went to jail. No one paid a dime in fines, and we fixed the bridge. There's dozens of other sheriffs who have done some other similar things.
Talk about those other sheriffs.
Every time the sheriffs have taken a stand, the federal government stands every single time.
That's because they know they're wrong.
But it takes the courage to do that. And so if we can make people bigger, better, and faster, what are we going to do? We're going to restore liberty to America. The proof is there. We have it. We have lots of proof. And I will tell you again, I do have a book that I highly recommend, Are You a David? The proof is in there. The plan is in there. And it's just an excellent book.
Bryce, this is Stephen in Denver. May I chip in here for a minute?
Sure.
Great. First of all, I'd like to let everybody know that I'm just one of the people in Colorado. For the last 14 months, I've been working diligently to restore the Constitution for the United States of America and to return honor, justice, and mercy to our courts. I met Bruce 2 months ago, and I'd like to commend him for his efforts to bring us all together here tonight. And I met Richard Mack a month ago. I'd also like to commend Richard for being here tonight to answer vital questions about the role of our sheriffs and the role of our people in doing just what I said. We have much more in common than restoring the Constitution. We all have families, and we want the best for them and our neighbors and their families, and we all know that something has gone terribly wrong in this country. Bruce invited each one of you here tonight with the intent of focusing on what we have in common and working together to solve our mutual challenges. But there are those whose only objective is to dominate and control the many. I call them the rapacious few. If you are an agent for the rapacious few and their divide-and-conquer methods, please disconnect yourself from this conference call right now. To everyone else, I thank you for being here or taking the time to be here to stand your ground for your unalienable rights and to make a difference now for everyone on earth. And Richard, to you, because I have been doing most of my work focusing on the common law grand jury in Colorado, let me say this. I'm in agreement with much of what you say, and I also know that if you only put three wheels on a car, it doesn't go anywhere. You still got to have that fourth wheel. And I believe that fourth wheel for what we want to get accomplished is the common law grand jury. And how we get it together and how we resolve all of the education that we need to get done and how we resolve all of our mutual perspectives on this, I don't know. But I'm glad that we're getting together regardless of what group we're currently championing or part of, and thank you, Rice, for allowing me to speak, and I yield.
Yeah, you know, that's my pleasure. but you just brought up my favorite phrase, and maybe you can relate to this, Richard. I hope so. But I'm calling it the Black Fly Brigade. I don't know if you've ever been attacked by biting black flies, but you know, each bite on its own is not a significant pain, but you definitely notice it. But when you got thousands of them after you, it's maddening. And that is, I think, a lot of what's happening, not just in this country, but around the world, is, you know, people are standing up all over the place. They don't know exactly what to do, so they just do what they know. While it may not individually be the most correct thing to do, it does have an effect in the overall picture. And I think we've got them on the run. But I do know that the sheriffs need to be an integral part of this. And I wish we could make that happen over here on the western slope of Colorado, but you know, we got a couple here that are anything but constitutional.
Well, that's when we need to step in. And, you know, if a sheriff is not going to uphold his oath, then we need to remove him. And, you know, Colorado is known for its recalls. And it's actually famous for its recalls. And it's time we, the people, stand up and do that. If we've got sheriffs that are not going to be constitutional, then it's our duty to remove them and to get constitutional sheriffs in there. This is the only way we win this. And I'm sorry, but I really feel like, you know, we're all trying to do the right thing, and we all have great people in this group. But I think our first priority needs to be to get the protection of our sheriffs behind us. And if we make that our focus, then everything else falls into place.
And, Bruce, don't forget, the sheriffs need our protection. They need us, the people, behind them.
It goes both ways, yes. I totally agree with that. So, because if the government, and we know we have corrupt governments that go after good sheriffs, then we, the people, need to protect those sheriffs. And we need to stand up for them. So, yes, it's definitely a two-way street. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that I think the first step that we need to take in trying to remove this corruption is to get our sheriffs behind us first, because we have been successful at exposing corrupt judges and stuff like that. Look at Michael. You know, he exposed the corrupt judges, and he actually filed liens on their property, and what did they turn around and do? They threw him in jail. We got to stop that. We're losing good people that way. If we focus on our sheriffs first and get the sheriffs behind us and become friends with our sheriffs, then that won't happen anymore.
Correct.
That is where I'm coming from. I yield.
Thank you, Bruce. So we've been going here for about an hour and a half, not quite that much, a little over an hour, and I will leave this up to you, Richard. You know, I can open this up for Q&A. I know, you know, you're getting ready to leave on vacation tomorrow. And
very early in the morning, too, by the way. And yeah, I'm willing to listen to some questions, but they need to be questions, and they need to be pretty quick. I mean, you know, don't go on and on and on. Don't give another speech. Ask the question. I'll also reemphasize, in order to do this whole thing to be successful, we need to do, as Bruce was just saying, we have got to focus on creating constitutional sheriffs in our county. not common law grand juries, constitutional sheriffs. That needs to be the first focus of all of this. Sheriffs first, working with us, working with posses, working with we the people. Absolutely. Does it go hand in hand? Absolutely, it has to. But the focus is not on common law grand juries. The focus is on constitutional sheriffs. If we do that, we're going to win.
I can't say that I disagree with you, but all the questions in my mind is what do we do with the ones that don't want to be constitutional?
Well, like I say, remember, we need 800 to 1,000, and we could probably even do it with 400 or 500, but the goal is to get a third. And so in Colorado, there's about, what, 59 sheriffs? We need...
A little over 60, but yeah, Denver...
Okay, we need 20 sheriffs. We need 20 sheriffs in Colorado. And, of course, once we get those, it's going to expand. But there's, you know, the sheriff in Denver probably is a write-off. I know the sheriff in Boulder is a write-off. He's the most liberal socialist in the country. We're not going to focus on the ones that are impossible. We're going to focus on the ones that are on the fence or that have already made indication to us, as the two new sheriffs did when Bruce and I met them in Pueblo. They're some real good people. And if we don't hurry and get contact with them and get some training going, then we're going to lose them. So we've got to get these sheriffs involved, and we've got to get them trained. I already have the curriculum, and we need to start rolling with this. And I can forward the curriculum to all of you. I don't know if I already sent it to you, Bruce, but anyway, I have it immediately available for all of you. And then we simply need to get these sheriffs to say, okay, yeah, we can do the training here. Let's bring in other sheriffs. You know, we can do maybe 4 or 5 counties at a time. And get them trained, and hopefully get their other officers trained, their captains, all of them. We want everyone to experience this, but maybe do the sheriffs and the officers, you know, lieutenants, captains, majors, and undersheriffs, and get those guys on board first and make them constitutional converts so they catch the vision of what this is really about. And they become patriotic, and they love the foundation of America. They love the founding fathers, and they get a fire in their belly for America.
Yeah.
And, Richard, if you will send me that, I don't have it from you yet, I will forward that to Steve, and Steve can forward that to everyone else in the state.
Okay. Sure will. And if we go another 15 minutes or so, my wife keeps telling me that we still got to finish packing here.
I was going to bring that up make sure you pass this on to her, please. Please let her know that at least somebody out here understands that you couldn't be doing what you're doing if you didn't have her backing you up.
Boy, you're not a kid. And she's been fantastic, and I would like all of you to meet her someday. She's really a great woman. We've been married 40 years this May, and she's been a real blessing for this, I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without her.
So, yes, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. And again, I don't want to keep you any longer than we...
So if you want to go another 15 minutes and get a few questions, I'd be happy to try to clear anything up that people might have on their minds.
Okay. Well, we will... let's see here.
Yeah.
Richard? What? Is that you, Keno?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Richard, I met you here about a year and a half ago when you were here in Pagosa. and I was on that thread. And I agree with you. That's what we're doing here in Archuleta County is we've had meetings with our sheriff, and we've pointed out certain things to him, especially about CTSI and everything. But I don't agree with you that should be our only focus, is having constitutional sheriffs. I think this battle is going to be won by multiple prong attack. And the common law grand jury is important because the sheriff can arrest anybody he wants to, but if he can't get convictions in his local jurisdiction, it's all for naught. Hello?
We're still here.
Oh, well, I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Don't know if Richard's still
here. Where'd you go, Richard?
Did we lose him?
That's looking like I'm not seeing them here anywhere. Let me make sure I haven't got him muted by mistake. Oh. Dang, I'm not seeing him.
Maybe his wife turned the phone off.
I wouldn't blame her. She probably knows exactly where this is going to go. She's been through it enough times.
Yeah.
Do you have a 408 on there? That's probably the number for Richard.
Yeah, and I'm not seeing it at the moment.
Hold on, let me see what his other number is and see if we've got that. Give me just a minute.
Sure.
Hey, Rice, this is Steven in Denver. If we don't have him and we don't get him back, or even if we do get him back and he's got to go, why don't we have people come on and ask their questions, and we can and then he can have those, listen to those questions before the next time we meet, and have some answers prepared for them.
Well, you know, all I can say is great minds think alike.
That's why we're all Steves.
Well, and I'm sure we can get, I'll talk to Richard, and I'll get him to even come on again and answer those questions in person.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah.
He is a very... I have found him to be a very generous person with his time and very honorable. And I hope you guys are finding the same thing. And, you know, one thing that you've got to understand is, like, I have a passion for what I'm trying to do as far as bringing us all together. He has that same passion for trying to restore the Constitution and to get rid of this lawlessness in our country. And, you know, Richard and I have spent hours and hours on the phone, so I can attest to you all that, you know, his heart is in the right place. He may speak firmly against some things with the common law grand jury, but I will tell you, Veterans Today, Stuart Rhodes, there are a lot of people out there that are really upset with the common law grand jury because of things that John Duress has done. And so we just have to take that and understand that. But if we can all come together and find something that we can all get behind now that will protect us all in what we're doing. And I'm not saying that anyone needs to stop what they're doing with the common law grand jury stuff. Okay? So, and neither is Richard. What we're saying is one of our main focuses has to be to get these sheriffs constitutional. And then once we get them constitutional, Richard and I have talked, he will explain to them what the common law grand jury is and get them on board with that. But if they don't know what their job is to start with and what their oath means, then how are they going to understand what the common law grand jury is? We understand it because we're involved with it. And that was the whole point that Richard was trying to make.
Bruce, I'd like to answer, comment on what you just said.
Okay.
We here in Colorado do not answer to John Duresh. What we're doing here, we are the sovereign state of Colorado. And what we do here with the common law grand jury is what we're doing for the betterment of Colorado. What John Duresh is doing, or what he's trying to do in New York and with the NLA, is fine. But people have to learn that every state is sovereign, and their common law grand juries are going to work differently because they have to work under their state constitutions as well as the federal constitution. So when people can confuse the NLA with what's going on here in the state of Colorado, they're two different animals. Yes, we do work with them, but we don't answer to them.
And I do totally agree with that, but do you understand that most people don't separate the two? And that is exactly what I'm saying and what Richard's trying to say. And, yes, we're here for Colorado, and I'm glad that we have made the choice to stand on our own. And I totally agree with what you're saying there. But I'm just saying that most people don't separate a common law grand jury from the NLA.
Well, that's where people are going to have to be educated.
There you go.
Yeah. That's it. Education.
And of course, I like the term that Stephen uses, is that we use NLA as our toolbox. Doesn't mean we got to build the same thing they're building.
Exactly. And I think that our first focus should be, and I'm not saying that we stop anything else that we're doing. I'm just saying that our first major focus should be protecting everybody that's part of this group. And the way we protect everybody that's part of this group is by getting our sheriffs behind us. If we focus on that first, which is exactly what Richard is saying, then we don't have problems with the people getting, the good people getting thrown in jail. And that's what I don't want to see.
Right.
And some of the questions that you did not get to ask Richard that I have asked him and talked to him, I will share with you, and that is that, driver's license and license plates, they're not legal. They're not part of the Constitution. Does he think that that should be our main focus right now? No. Let's get our sheriffs constitutional first, because we don't need people getting thrown in jail because they're not running license plates or driver's license. That fight needs to be done after we get our sheriffs constitutional.
Yes. And I will put this out to everybody as well. We are working right now on creating funding for the common law juries and whatever else needs funding in regards to this, including the sheriffs. So we should have some updates on that by this time next week, because really there is stuff going on right now.
Say, Rice, you told Larry earlier you'd put him on the front of the call, and you haven't done that. And then I've got some requests to start opening the call for questions, so maybe we could get on with that now.
Yep. So I think this is Curry. Let me okay. Oh, okay. Next question. Okay.
No, sorry, guys. It took me a bit. Yeah, it took me a minute to get to my button. Very interesting conversation. Thank you, Bruce, for reaching out and bringing everything together.
Well, and you're welcome, and I hope you guys don't hate me for, you know, I'm just trying what I can do to bring everybody together and to really to protect us all, and I hope you guys all understand that. And I hope you understand that I do believe in the common law grand jury. Don't think that I don't believe that, because it's not true.
Well, let me go this route. I met Sheriff Mack in 2010 up in northern Missouri. He came to Marceline, Missouri on a speaking tour. And I bartered with him with some of my Liberty money and got five of his America's Last Hope, his county book. All right. And I tried to spread them out in northern Missouri, where I'm actually from. And I actually had deputies spitting on me. Not only were they telling me no, they would spit on me. All right. I moved down here into southeast Missouri, and I had a few of the books left, so I approached my sheriff here in this county. And he straight up told me that he is out to gather as much federal money as he can. That's our share.
Well, that's what needs to be, that stuff needs to be removed. You know?
Well, you're not going to understand that. But here's the disconnect that Sheriff Mack has going on. The sheriff is a construct of the Constitution. Now, the common law grand jury does have to cooperate with the sheriff. But we created the sheriff. All right? The sheriff is there for an emergency situation. And I don't know if you believe it or not, but law enforcement is usually the last person at the scene in an emergency. That's just the fact of the law of averages. You rarely get the opportunity to call a sheriff and say, hey, I'm going to need you here in 20 minutes. You follow me?
I do. So go ahead.
Okay.
Continue.
All right. Now, I agree that we need to get the sheriff more educated on what the common law grand jury is. And in so doing, build that relationship to where we'll come to his call if he comes to ours. Do you follow me there? It's a cooperation.
Yeah.
But we still maintain the position. The king never had to answer to his sheriff. We are kings and queens in this country. Actually, technically, we are prince and princesses, because our king is our creator God. And that's been here for over 10,000 years in this country.
And I will totally agree and support everything that you're saying on that.
Cool.
The one thing that I would caution is that we also have to worry about how the rest of the population that don't understand the common law grand jury think. And how do they think? Most of them think that, you know, the sheriff is law. A lot of them don't understand that they are the king and queens, and that we elected those sheriffs. And so that's why I think it's important to find that line where, yes, you are correct. We are the ones that elected that sheriff, so we have the ability. And let's face it, people, we don't have a government. We do not have any form of legal government, and we haven't for any time, for a long time. So it is up to us, we the people, to elect our sheriffs and for us to decide what those sheriffs need to do. So I'm not disagreeing with any of that.
Agreed.
I'm saying the perception of the people themselves we also have to worry about, so that it doesn't look like we're just a renegade group trying to control sheriffs.
Absolutely. Now, here's another bridge we need to cross here, Bruce, with Sheriff Mack, is John Duresh does not speak for the country. John Duresh doesn't really speak for all of New York. John Duresh only speaks for John Duresh. That's been his position all along. It's up to each state to create their own memory bank. We've got to re-educate ourselves to where we remember where we're supposed to be in this whole construct we have called government, which was infiltrated and turned into a corporation. We've got a long row ahead of us, guys.
I hear what you're saying about John Duresh, and I have personally spent time a couple hours on the phone with him one-on-one. And it's good that he's saying that, but he's not following that. He has not followed that with me. He has said one thing and done another thing, and that is where I have a problem with John Duresh. And I think that by him not keeping his integrity, it's hurting the whole movement of the grand jury. Because, you know, when I went to Veterans Today, I mean, I spent 2 hours on the phone with them the other night. I had emailed back and forth with them before, but after the public letter went out, I actually got an email for them with private phone numbers, and they asked me to call them. And, you know, one of their big things to me is that, you know, because of some of the things that John has done with the common law grand jury, they can't get behind that. If we want to rename it and we want to call it a Citizens Oversight Committee or something like that, they can get behind that. So do we want the support of the rest of the people? Do we want the media out there touting what we're trying to do so that we get that support? It's not my decision to make. That's Colorado's decision to make. But I'm just
I see where you're coming from, Bruce, exactly. And I've got my same issues with John Duresh. He doesn't want the fiction, but yet he's going to follow certain fiction rules. I don't understand that. And you all brought it to the point. I was the first person in the state of Kansas to step forward with the NLA when I first stumbled into the site. It was the most amazing education that I'd seen since 2003 when I started my re-education, all right? I was getting little bits and pieces of it here and there. But every time I would try to move forward with that into the public, it came to the forefront that the public was not following the rules. It wasn't following its end of the bargain. Why? Because of the corruption. Like I told John a couple of months ago, we don't have 3,122 counties out here. We got 3,122 mafias, straight up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they are murdering men, women, and children all day long. And yes, Sheriff Mack has had some amazing victories, but in the almost 20 years he's been on the road, we've seen very little real results.
Oh, I disagree with that. You're not really
identity.
You're not really looking at what all of the constitutional sheriffs are doing, because the ones that are standing up now, they're doing amazing things. I mean, not only are they keeping the IRS from repossessing somebody's home, but they're kicking out the EPA and the Parks Department and the BLM and all of those. I mean, the sheriffs that truly believe in the Constitution are standing up for it. We have just got to figure out how to get all of our sheriffs that passionate about following the Constitution. And once they do that, hey, then they know themselves. If they'll learn the Constitution themselves, they know what is and is not law. And that's all we're asking for.
Yeah, I hear you, Bruce. We're having the same conversation with the veterans. The exact same conversation.
Yeah, Bruce, this is Stephen in Denver.
Yeah, Stephen.
Let me let you guys know that eight of us went to Douglas County to follow up on our paperwork for filing, for constituting the common law grand jury there. And we were confronted by the sheriff's department deputies down there. And we're just people, and eight of us. And we stood up to them. And they ran away from us once they knew that we knew what we were talking about. They ran away from us.
And I'll bet you I know one of the people that was in that group.
Well, maybe
I would hope so.
Well, anyway, what I'm trying to say is the people have the power, but we do need the sheriffs, and we do need to stand behind the sheriffs, but we also need to educate them so that they know just exactly who signs their paycheck or who provides the money for their paycheck and what their job really is.
And who they're working for, here. And that's exactly what that's Richard's point. You know, those sheriffs need to know that they're working for the people and to uphold the Constitution to protect those people.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, Stephen, I hope I'm going to yield out of here. That was my concern.
Thank you.
I want to get a recording. You're going to send this recording out, correct?
Yeah. If you will send me an email to, you ready to write?
I'm already on your list. I mean, I get them. I think I'm getting them regular, but
the 1062.
I'm getting your. I don't know what it is, but I get for some reason you couldn't figure it out the last time I was on your call.
Yeah. Yeah, it's CL West Slope. Or I can, as soon as I can find what I did with, there it is.
Go ahead and shoot your information. I'll just circle around.
Okay, it's CL West Slope, SLOPE.
Got it.
@gmail.com.
Okay.
And if you'll just send me an email with 1062 in the subject line, I'll get it out.
All right, Stephen, I appreciate it. I'll try
You're
to make
welcome.
What calls
Thank
I
you.
I can make. You guys have your weekly call or your state call. That happens
in
the middle of my
Wednesday.
Choir night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could make like
and,
the first half hour or so, probably.
Yeah, and we're also, I hadn't anticipated setting this up as a regular thing, and I'm not trying to usurp anybody here, but it's just with what's happening over here right now, we're covering a lot of incredible information and ways of enforcement. But, you know, we'll try to continue to keep having calls like on Saturday evenings. It seems to work for most people.
And I would like to be invited to that. This is Bruce. And everybody on the call, I'm going to drop off now and see if I can get a hold of Sheriff Mac. But thank you all so much.
You're welcome. And please be sure to thank Richard and his wife.
I will. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
And ladies, if we have ladies on here, sorry about that. I don't mean to cut anybody out.
Yeah, and we do. Okay.
Okay, guys. I'm going to yield out, Stephen. Thanks for the opportunity,
thank you, sir.
Guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. All right. I believe this is Charlie.
It is, and I find it interesting that Mac did not interact with Kino.
Yep. Yeah, it's not too surprising. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. We weren't going to get anything solved on this call.
It matters. It matters,
it does.
Mr. Rice.
Yes, but this is an introduction, and it's going to be used for, you know, it can be spread far and wide. You know, I don't care.
Okay.
And so, but it hopefully at least will open the conversation.
Well, it was dropped off with a very pertinent question.
Well, yeah, and I don't know that that was his fault. He was just gone. And we all know how cell phone connections and internet connections can do that.
Okay, we can use whatever excuse, okay?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we have sheriffs across the state of Colorado that are collecting over 100,000, and we have to educate them?
Well, yeah.
Let's begin with that one.
Yeah. Well, they may be paying us to do that.
Yeah, maybe they should pay us to educate them. There you go. I like that.
Well, they just may very well if they don't want to go along with the program.
Well, then they'll find that they're not making $111,000 a year.
Well, they'll find the only place they can afford to live is in their own jails.
That's right. There you go. There you go.
So, yeah, it's and we're moving on that.
Yep. A good first start.
Yeah, we'll have something, I'm sure, to report by the end of next week.
Okay. No more enabling.
No more what?
Enabling.
Right. Right.
That has to end.
I can't agree more. Yeah. Okay. So we got more, Charlie. You got anything else?
Nothing. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, dear. Okay. 213-06. 10.
Yes, I have a question. This is Eric, Letterman County. I was wondering if I could clarify something. I mean, there's been a great push on this call to find commonality, and I was wondering if the commonality are the first four written instruments of our forefathers, starting with a declaration, next one being Article of Confederation, next one being the 1787 proposed Constitution for the United States of America, and the next one being the ratified, fully unanimous, 1789 Constitution for the United States of America. What I found throughout the call is people are still using language that does not exist or is not congruent or notwithstanding all four of these documents or instruments. And what I mean by that is, you know, the word constitutional does not come up in these documents or instruments, but what does come up is withstanding the Constitution. So, I mean, there are many points such as understanding and comprehending. This is a real word orientated subject. Our forefathers spent much time on its perfection and also gave us, we the people, undoubtedly a way to make it more perfect. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's been discussion about what should we call this, you know, should it be a common law grand jury? Well, it's very clear by our forefathers that they say, let's see, Let's see. They say that we can appoint new guards. And I think it's very important that if we come across to all the people of We the People that we are appointing new guards, and the new guards are a common law grand jury, I think that'd be way more clear. And I believe, I mean, just listening from the language of most of the speakers tonight, as no one really got any questions or answer time for Sheriff Mack, except for those who dominated the call, I do find it almost ridiculous that that more people have not assent to law and have gone back and read and used the PDF files to search out the words that they use. Constitutional does not come up in the Constitution. There are banned words from our forefathers from the Article of Confederation. So I believe, you know, one of the biggest assets we have that is common is a declaration, the abandoned Article of Confederation, and then the proposed 1787 Constitution, and then the ratified 1789 Constitution for the United States of America. And it is so clear in a declaration that the people have the power to establish new guards. And we have seen people under absolute despotism as we've gone to county to county, and we have realized that the corruption is so hard there that they don't even want to vote or be seen. So you know, people like Bruce are asking, well, you know, let's drop our indifferences. And I come back at Bruce and say, well, let's find our common ground. So what I see and what our forefathers seen as common law starts with a declaration and evolves into the 1789 Constitution for the United States of America. Now, there is other common law withstanding the 1789 Constitution for the United States of America, but there is no such thing as common law without it. Otherwise, you'll be practicing a common law such as Sharia law or other laws of other nations, and we should be very specific in the language we use. And I'm very disappointed that the call was not opened up for question and answer for Sheriff Mack, because, you know, as we all know, we can prove through American jurisprudence, no state shall convert secured liberties into privileges and issue a license and a fee for it, Murdoch versus Pennsylvania. But we can already see that we have the backing of even the highest Supreme Court. Not to give it full credit, but I will say that they are acknowledging the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. It being the supreme law of the land, it is the most common of all of us. And I was just curious if you agree with that or disagree with that.
I was wondering if there is a question in here. I do like what you're saying about the new guard. We have the right to create a new guard. I hadn't considered that. But in essence, that's what we're doing here.
It's the only thing that gives us standing in our forefathers' instruments. It's very clear that, first of all, that you must dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. And then second of all, you must give notice, and most definitely, you know, it won't be done in a way that is lesser than important. and like they say here, most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So there are only a few handful of steps that we need to provide in our notice to state that we can provide a new guard, no matter what that new guard is.
And, yeah, Eric, and, you know, of course, the big issue that we're dealing with, not just here, but worldwide, you know, is the corruption.
No, it's the language.
No, you're correct in all that, but how do we cut through the corruption?
Okay, this is a great question. I'll answer it for you. All of us must be reading off the same instruments. And if you would like to get this, you can email me at taskman.usa@gmail.com. And that's TASKMAN, period. USA@gmail.com, and I will get you these PDFs. I mean, it's so important, and literally, I heard mostly about 95% of the words being used, notwithstanding the Constitution, even borderline Confederate words. And I can prove that to you by using the PDF as people are speaking. I'm typing in PDF searches for the words that they use, and the words that they're using are Confederate words. And we all know that we shall not enter into Confederacy.
Well,
and yet, why
we all knew that we shouldn't enter into democracy, too, but here we are.
Well, and so I come back at you and say, what do? The first thing is we start speaking the same language. And the language I beg you to start speaking is our forefathers' language. And I beg you to stop using the Confederate language, because there was a lot of Confederate language used tonight. And it is not going to do the people any good when you speak Confederate language. And there is no word in the first four instruments that state constitutional. It's either withstanding the Constitution or it does not stand the Constitution. Now, what I mean by this is the Constitution of 1789, and not once was it mentioned tonight what Constitution that people were standing on. And the only one that can be stood on is the 1789 and those that are withstanding it, period. And so, again, you know, you ask these questions of, you know, how? Well, let's start speaking the same language from our forefathers' instruments that they left us. Because anyone who would tell you that you're full of whatever because you're using the forefathers' instruments, those, it's self-evident that they are traitors, that they are treason, that they're committing treason. And what I mean by this is that the one thing that all people have in common are these first four instruments, and those worked. We're not reestablishing the Constitution. No, we need it enforced. Peace officers such as Sheriff Mack are responsible not only to uphold the Constitution, but they are there to, how do I want to say this? They are there to police the legislative and the judicial branch. And that is the breakdown, and that is the problem, is A, they're not upholding the Constitution, 1789 Constitution for the United States of America, and B, like in general laws, they are not protecting us from the legislative branch and the judicial branch. And just like Sheriff Mack said, that they've been slurred, the lines are blurred between the executive, judicial, and legislative branches. And, you know, you see it all the time in court and in courtrooms where you have a sheriff or undersheriff or deputy sheriffs or multiple, 10, 20, however they deem necessary for who's in there, and they are there to protect the judicial branch. And we all know that the separation of powers must stand, but we all know that the separation of powers that I speak about are in the Declaration, a declaration. They are in the 1789 Constitution for the United States of America, and they're not in the 1864 Constitution. They're not in the Constitution that is equity or equitable, because there is only law and there is only equity. And law is the supreme law of the land, the 1789 Constitution for the United States of America. So do you agree with me that that is our most common interest and ground in all the people tonight on the phone?
Well, what it comes down to, my opinion, and it's come down to this repeatedly, no matter what direction we've tried, is how do we enforce it?
Well, by using proper words.
Without the sheriffs, except that we are working on something here that may open that door. And I'm not going to expand on what that is right now. But
no matter the party, if they are not expressing themselves with the correct language, then they are only enslaving themselves. So do you understand me, or do you comprehend me?
Yeah.
Well, there's one or the other. You either stand under me and I boss you around, or you comprehend what I just said. So which one is it? Because there's a big difference between out at the White House and at the White House. There's a huge difference.
Well, I just tell you personally, I stand. Okay?
You stand,
I don't know where that stand's going to take me.
So do you
stand
with the 1789 Constitution for the United States of America or not?
I stand for the freedom of the people, not only of this country, but the world. That's what I stand for.
Yes, but do you stand within the boundaries of that Constitution I described?
I am not limited by the Constitution.
Well, like I said, there are things and there are common laws that are withstanding the Constitution that are not enumerated, which I think that's what you're trying to get to, but the Constitution only allows you to free speech, because if you were born somewhere else, you wouldn't even be on this call to represent what you think you stand for. But you are on this call because our forefathers pulled it off. They gave a declaration as a notice. They started with the Article of Confederation. They saw its failure. They proposed a new constitution, and they ratified the 1789 Constitution. And in a declaration, they even gave their posterity a way to perfect it as they knew that we probably would. So what gives us standing is our geographic, where we were born, or that we claim our posterity. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, this is where I stand with all of that, Eric, is, and, you know, we've gone over this before,
but
you have
still
a tendency to shut down people's listening.
Well, pardon me, sir. Not once did you open up the call for people, any people. Now, you said you were going to, but literally all the Steves and whoever had the buttons were the ones that talked to Sheriff Matt. Not one other people did. And that is fact, and I have it recorded, and you are wrong, because you are the one that has dominated it. You invited us to the call.
Back up. Eric, if you want to do your own calls, you're more than welcome to do them.
I was asked to be on this call, and I wanted to be on it, but I also wanted to interact with Sheriff Mack, which seems to be in record that you and others have dominated the call and never opened up the call.
You can do that if you do it on your own calls. You can get Sheriff Mack to talk to you. It was just there was too many people here to keep it open, okay?
Too many people.
That's
that
too much noise. We over-talk everybody. I wasn't going to go through that again.
If you
want to host your call and do it your way, go ahead.
Yeah, but I was invited to this call. Do you comprehend that?
You got to listen.
Yeah, but
and
I
you'll get
I
to listen
told,
again.
No, I was told I could actually interact, believe it or not.
Well, I don't know who told you that.
Bruce.
Well, you know, I...
So is Bruce a liar?
We were operating... Now, listen. We were operating under... some restrictions here with time. The whole idea of this call was to create the dialogue between us.
Because not one of other people.
Between Sheriff Mack and us. Okay, it was not to have the dialogue, but to create it. And I think we did pretty well at that.
You did great, but how about all the other people I asked?
I apologize. Technically, it's just not possible to have this many lines open when you're having a conference call like this. Because you get people talking over each other. And then nobody hears anything. And I'm sorry if you didn't get to talk to Sheriff Mack, but I had no control over that. He dropped off as soon as I opened up the lines.
Name another people that did get to talk to Sheriff Mack besides Steve. Possibly Bruce.
You know, we can't all talk at once.
Can I ever talk?
Huh?
Can I ever ask?
Yeah, but you have a tendency to try to take over a call, and you won't yield the floor.
I didn't even have the floor tonight.
You got
Please.
It now.
Yes, and I'm asking you, why did you set this call up asking for people to show up to interact when we couldn't interact? And you're saying it's impossible, so why don't you just tell us that it's impossible to interact, so don't bother calling in. And by the way, don't bother using the PIN number. And by the way, don't bother even saying anything because I'm just going to speak to you. Why don't you just be honest?
Eric, do your own call.
I would,
and then you can handle it any way you want.
I am, and I was invited to this call to speak to Sheriff Mack.
Then sue me. Okay?
I would like you to have honor and grace and mercy and put forth that effort, especially to others, not just me, but others that have not spoken also. It's not just me.
Now you're allowing others that want to speak. You're not allowing them to speak. You're taking up an inordinate amount of time, and your comments have been acknowledged.
So are you wanting
to argue with me?
No, I'm asking you, are you going to try to fix it for the next phone call?
If you want to arrange your own call, then you do it.
I was invited to this call, so how do I get to
speak? But if you don't like it, arrange your own. I am. There's nothing to keep you here. There's nothing to make you come back if you don't want to.
Yeah, so, it was called an invitation, believe it or not.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry you're disappointed.
Well, I'm just
pointing out. That's the way it worked out. Now, if you can get it perfect, then by God, do it.
I was just pointing out the facts. You dominated.
I know what you were pointing out, and I'm tired of going back and forth on this, and we're wasting everybody else's precious time.
We'll ask someone else.
I'm going to take you off and go to the next question.
We'll ask someone else if they felt the same way as I did. Please.
You just asked them.
Very well. Let's hear from the next caller. I yield the floor. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, Carrie Oker. You still there?
Hello, do you hear me now?
Yeah, now we got you.
I had my mic muted. Hey, I was in a positive mood, but boy, I'm chewing my nails right now. I'm having a comment and a question. I'm up here in Bremer County. I'm gonna get involved with the NLA up here. I've been talking to Lori, but... you know, here's my thought. A few years ago, I was trying to get the libertarian movement started up here, and finding volunteers is almost impossible. Now, it, educating the sheriffs is fine, but what we need to do, we need to find the people that want to get involved. We need to educate the people. We need to tell them that we do have a tool, that they do have a voice. You know, they've given up on the political process. Some of them are just ready for the bloody revolution. We have got to educate the people, and we have got to get this organization going. I don't care whether you call that a grand jury or what. That this would be our goal, but my feeling is we have got to get organized, and we have got to start educating the people on the Constitution, what happened to this country, and what we've got to do to get it back. And, you know, but here's my question. We are going to be hit hard here in the following year with the National Police Force, with the United Nations demanding guns. We're going to be hit hard. We're running out of time. Do you think we have the time? You know, do you think we actually have the time?
No, I don't, personally.
I don't either. We got to get something going. We got to get something going now.
But I do think there's a lot more going on that we are not aware of. That is going to work in our favor. So, when that happens, you know, however it shows up, you know, we do need to have the common law juries ready to, you know, stand up all over the country so that we don't turn. You know, this country over to the courts again.
Yes, yes. We have got to get control one way or another, and I think the common law jury is one way of doing it.
As do most everybody that was on this call.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you, and... But, yeah, time is running out of the hourglass, or the sand is running out of the hourglass rather quickly.
Or it
there's
is.
Not much left in it.
It's accelerating. It scares me to death. It's accelerating hard. And the next two years will be the most critical part of the history of the United States. I believe that because we have got a fight. We've got a fight on our hands right now. Next 2 years, if we don't do it.
I'm not even sure we're going to make it through the next month, but.
I don't either. But, you know, Bundy Ranch 2 is going down on the 7th, and I'll see what happens there. But, anyway, that's my question.
I am encouraged, though, because there is a lot going on that behind the scenes that we are not aware of yet, and, you know, I do think it's going to be very beneficial for everybody.
Yeah.
But it could be really hairy for a short period here. So,
Well, I see good signs. The last election sort of perked me up a little bit. You know, it gives me signs that people are, you know, going back to the old conservative ways. And then I talk to everybody I meet up here, and people are waking up, and people are that, like I say, we got to give them a tool and convince them that they do have a voice. They've given up on the political system and everything else, you know. But anyway, I'll let you go on to the next caller, and thank you.
Oh well, thank you for being on the call and for participating. Thanks. Okay, 9729.
Yeah, it's just me.
Oh God. I knew that.
It's Keno again. But now after that long dissertation, I forgot what I was going to ask.
I know. It's tough for us old farts, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're the only thing that's going to hold these people together.
Yeah. Well...
Well, I really wanted to get Sheriff Mack's input because it's like you say all the time, the Black Fly Brigade, and we can't just focus on one thing. We have to look at the whole picture because no war was ever won because of one battle.
Right.
And that's why we're down here in Archuleta County. That's what we're doing. What we're doing is because we can have meetings with our sheriff, and at the same time we're going after everything else too.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before, but for the benefit of everybody listening, I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing in Archuleta. That just
well, that's why I've said over and over again, and this is for everybody out there, no matter what state they're in, no matter what county they're in. The first thing they have to do is they have to go to the courthouse, and they have to get copies of everybody's oath of office and copies of their bonds. You have to develop the paper trail.
And you are correct. And I guarantee you people are going to have some incentive to do that here shortly.
Yeah, we both know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Ricky's on the line. He's trying to get in. He's 0102. And maybe he can give you an update on getting whether he's got those videos posted somewhere or not yet.
Okay.
And I will yield.
All right. Thanks, Keno.
You betcha, Steve.
Okay. Should be unmuted.
Hello. Gentlemen and ladies, my name's T.J. McCann, calling you from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. I am somewhat known to your audience and listeners. Commander Keno, who just hung up, is a contact of mine. I am with you guys entirely, 100% on your recognition of the problems. I just have real reservations about the common law grand jury being any sort of a solution to provide any kind of guard for our future security. And I think that there's a fundamental misconception that has been promoted, I think starting with NLA, about what the common law is and that the common law is in any way a fundamental principle of this country. the common law, as referenced by the courts, is generally the British common law, and that's nothing more than case precedent that was never written into law. We know it as our own court precedent here, but that common law that they often refer to is based on the feudal ideology of noblesse oblige, in which case a person is born into society owing obligation to the crown and to the government from birth, and is not at all synonymous with our natural law rights. I've written an article, and I've detailed some of my concerns about the common law grand juries. And some of the common law grand jury's actions that are currently ongoing, the real problems with them, such as Terry Trussell, who I vaguely knew when I was involved with Operation American Spring. I've got a article up on the common law grand juries at a blog, which is libertyborn.wordpress.com. And it's titled "Are Common Law Grand Juries Valid?" And I would like to invite anybody to respond to my article there, and I will post your response in entirety, addressing my concerns.
What was the address of that?
Libertyborn.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And again, my name is T.J. McCann, although some people in your audience know me as Tripp. And I basically go through four concerns in that article. Are common law grand juries valid? I differentiate between the common law versus natural law. I discuss the implications of common law grand juries being valid for our legal system and our country as a whole, and then finally discuss can grand juries indict at will. And all of those are, I think, fundamental misconceptions of the common law grand jury. And you know, lest somebody gets upset and they think I'm just throwing a span in the works here, and I've been involved with these battles and writing on these things for a great while now. I've got an article on Natural Born Defined that even Commander Charles Kirchner has up on his blog. If you recall, Commander Kirchner was one of the earlier cases against Obama's eligibility. So part of that article looks at the origins of common law, going back to Calvin's case in 1608, which was written up by Lord Coke, and that deals with the fundamentals of the common law, and it is by that common law that we as British subjects even got the right to have representation by merely being on the king's soil. But it's a double-edged sword. That common law also made us property of the king, and we fought two wars, not just the Revolutionary War, but the War of 1812, to shed ourselves of the idea that we were under a perpetual allegiance to the crown, and that was under that very same common law that made us that. For instance, under the common law, if you were in any way hostile to the crown, which in Britain the crown was also the Church of England, so if you were not a member of the Church of England, you were considered a hostile, and if you were a Jew, you weren't guaranteed any sort of personal rights or even any guaranteed right to property under the British legal system. So I think we're on very, very tenuous ground if we start discussing the common law being equivalent to anything like our natural law rights. And even under the common law, Lord Coke's references in Calvin's case in 1608, discusses the British version of common law, and that, natural law, and that reference to natural law considers it natural that every person be born into society owing an obligation to those above them and to the government or the crown itself. So their reference to natural law is not at all like our own reference to natural law. In fact, I believe a good argument could be made how the common law is entirely antithetical to our natural law in this country.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, TJ. It's we all do this. We keep looking at history and how all of this stuff came about. And my sense is, and this is just mine, we're still the people. I don't care who says what. We're still the people. And
we are the people. The problem is, here's something. When I had a dawning realization one day when I was writing a post on just a forum, and it kind of hit me in between the eyes like a 2x4 for a thick-headed mule, is that you're looking at these mobs in Ferguson, and what would separate these common law grand juries from those angry mobs forming their own grand jury and indicting Officer Wilson on first-degree murder or charging him with first-degree murder even after he was not charged by the initial grand jury? What would make that Ferguson quote-unquote common law grand jury be any more valid? And in my opinion, I have not heard anything that would make these common law grand juries any more valid.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, about we're still the people is, we can make this up any way we want to, because we're the ones that create it. However, we got to get out from under the yoke that we're in.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Would you do me a favor? I'm sure Kino is just biting at the bit right now to get in a comment. He knows me very well, and he's been very, very angry with me because of this article that I initially emailed him. Would you allow him to talk as well, please?
Let me see if I can find him. Can't see his name, so I got to find his number.
He was
memorized. You'd think I'd know by now. Stand by here, just Kino, do *6 again real quick.
Kino, I have Kino on Skype. He could tell me what his last four digits are if he wanted to.
Is it 4085?
I thought it had a 9 in it.
Yeah. Dang it, I can
look it up. 9729.
9729, okay. Let me see if I can find it. There he is.
He told me, Tripp, don't ramble on. There other people want to.
Okay, I'm here.
Hey.
This is the wrong venue to get in a long dissertation trip.
I know, but it's a lot easier than having to read all of my crap, isn't it, Kino?
Yeah, but this is about Colorado, bud.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, we're all under the same union, so I'm told. even though we're not allowed to smoke pot here in Pennsylvania.
Well,
yeah, well, see,
you know,
like I said,
a lot of states are not as progressive as Colorado.
This is the wrong venue, and there's a lot of other people that wanna get in and make comments, so we can't get into a long dissertation.
Okay. I was just trying to get my general point across, and you know, again, I'd like to reiterate on that blog, I would welcome anybody that wants to respond. I will not edit your post as long as it's not, you know, a personal attack or profanity or other than that. Anything you want to argue, I will put there counter to my own. And would be happy to even post a main article on the blog in response.
I'm sure people would like to read it. I have, and I understand a lot of the points that you're trying to make. But like I said, this is not the right venue to go into. This is a state call. And we really need to let the other people get in on the call.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're still lining up.
I have one question that I would like to ask.
Sure.
Before I yield, and that is, I've heard a couple of callers say that Colorado is different than National Liberty Alliance, and I think Keno, you've actually told me that yourself. In what ways are you guys different that might make what you're doing more valid?
It's the way we're going about things here. We're doing everything according to our state constitution. And we're doing everything county by county, where the NLA, they got the idea of fast tracking this whole thing, and they're doing it state by state, and then filling in the counties behind them.
Okay.
And we believe here in Colorado that we have to have a strong foundation to work on, and that foundation starts at the county level.
Is there something being done in the counties that somehow makes the quote unquote common law valid all of a sudden?
Yes and no. We're exploring alternative ways of enforcement. And it's not to say our way is correct. It's not to say anybody's way is correct. But we're exploring as many different options as we can find that are open to us to get through this maze. So. You know, Keno and the group down in Archuleta, you know, they're doing amazing stuff. They're doing amazing stuff. Our Curry here is doing amazing stuff. We have world class investigators in this group. And we're disseminating, you know, as much of the information as we can find, trying to educate everybody in the group as best we can. And it's been amazing. It has been amazing. I have never, in my 63 years, I have never been associated with a group of people that I respect so highly. And so we don't have all the answers. Nobody's got all the answers. But we can We can damn sure attack them from all kinds of different fronts.
Yeah, my concern is that if we pursue an avenue that basically validates, I don't know of any other better way to call it than mob rule, then we're basically undermining not only the rule of law but also the Constitution itself.
I don't disagree with your concerns about that, TJ, but it's time for the gloves to come off. But in essence, what we do have is a bunch of people who are of integrity, who live that on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I'm just so impressed with this group of people. Like I said, I've never experienced it before in my life. And most every one of them will tell you the same thing.
I have no doubt about the motivation of people being good, and undeniably we are all frustrated and sick and tired of the malarkey we're having to deal with. I just wonder whether we're spinning our wheels at something that cannot possibly have a good outcome. I mean, I look at cases like Terry Trussell down in Dixie County, Florida, or the Nevada common law grand jury that said they found proof that the 13th Amendment, original titles of nobility amendment, had been actually ratified. Or National Liberty Alliance's Quo Warranto, and I think about what these common law juries are doing in these instances are for the most part not harmful, but when they act upon them like Terry Trussell did, when they actually take action, when they do things like put a lien on somebody's house. Or form a common law grand jury and introduce it into the position of another grand jury, then they put themselves in a position, in a very vulnerable position with regard to the law. I mean, Trussell's facing 14 felony charges in Florida.
Right.
But let me remind you, Tripp, it's not over.
Yeah.
We don't know how it's gonna turn out. And like I said, it's I'm going to get off of here because the other people want a chance to.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to totally yield. I'd like to hear what other callers have to say, if anything, about what I've said. And again, I'd like to invite anybody to respond at the blog, which again is libertyborn.wordpress.com, and I will. Be sure to publish, whatever comments come in.
Okay. Thank you, TJ. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I've enjoyed listening to you guys talk, but I remain concerned about what I see as fundamental problems. And I'm not just saying this to be a stick in the mud or an obstacle. I mean, I've even been accused of being a federal agent by some people that I've considered friends, simply because I point out these things. And I want to see us succeed every bit as much as everyone in your audience does. And I just don't see these common law grand juries as any means to that success. Leo Donofrio has an article that I refer to in my own article that talks about how they can succeed and how they can be the fourth branch of government, but those are via normally constituted grand juries and not as under these common law terms as they're currently being
constituted. Yeah.
No,
I don't know
that there is a silver bullet.
That's a good phrase. That's one I've used myself. We keep looking for a silver bullet, and I just haven't found one yet.
Yeah, but there are a lot of black flies. So if nothing else, we'll drive them crazy.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, TJ. I think you're going to be interested in listening to the next caller.
Oh, you bet I will. Thank you for your time.
You bet, TJ. Thank you. Good evening, John.
Good evening. So I guess you know who I am, John Durash from New York. Yeah, who am I talking to?
This is Steve Rice.
How you doing, Steve? I got a couple of questions. You said that you were working on something that may open the door to enforcement. You think maybe you can call me after this call at 845-233-6560?
I could, but not ready to share it yet. About this time next week.
I don't think you should be ready to share it at all till you call me at that number. You do know, I presume, that we do have a plan to deal with enforcement.
Yeah.
Okay, so there can't be two. We can't confuse people.
Well,
if you want it to be part, with
anything.
Well, it sounds like it would to me, but let me ask a few questions. This is a state call, right? So it's an NLA call? This is not an NLA call?
No. There are people with NLA that are in this call, but it is not a state call.
I'm confused. If you're not you use the NLA membership to have a call with other people?
Some of them, but this was open to people that weren't in NLA.
I'd like to get a copy of this whole call because I didn't come in at the beginning. I'd like to get a copy of this whole call maybe as soon as you can, maybe today or tomorrow or whatever. Do you have an access number I can call in to get the information?
Yeah, I'm gonna download it and email it to anybody that wants it. So
it sounds like it'd be too big to email, though. I mean, how many megs can you email?
Sounds like a pretty long call. I don't know. It shouldn't be that big.
What time did the call begin?
Pardon?
What time did the call begin?
7.
And you're what, 2 hours behind us, I think?
Right.
Okay, so 8, 9. So it's 9, 10, 11, 12, 3 hours. It's going to be pretty big. But, okay, if you can email it to me, that'd be good.
But I'll also send the link, for the to listen to the recording.
Okay.
So one way or the other, you'll get it.
Yeah, one way I'll get it then. All right, what is Archuleta doing? What group is that?
They're down in southern Colorado. They've been very active in dealing with their commissioners down there. They've been very active with talking with their sheriff, and in fact, they have a video of the conversation that they had with their new sheriff. It's amazing.
Okay, are John with us?
John, this is Steve Keno.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm one of the administrators for the common law grand jury down here in Archuleta County.
Okay.
If you'd like to call me, I can fill you in on what we've been doing down here in Archuleta County.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's an NLA thing in the county.
It is.
Dealing with the sheriffs and the commissioners. Yeah, that's cool. It sounded like, at first, when hearing, it sounded like some kind of a group away from us that's not part of us.
We do not want to meld or
get involved with another group and mix NLA with that stuff because it's only going to get us in trouble.
We are with the NLA. Like I said, I'm one of the administrators here in Archuleta County. And we've been very proactive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Eric? He sounded like he really did sound like he knew what he was talking about. I was kind of surprised at the way that Steve Rice, talking to you, Steve, you know, that you treated him. What's going on with Eric? He sounds like a guy.
Well, actually, you've had to deal with him too.
I'm sorry.
I said you've had to deal with him too.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Yeah, it's been a while, but
what's his last name?
God.
He's not the guy that wrote the newsletters, is he?
Is
he the guy that wrote the negative newsletters about National Liberty Alliance and our jurisdiction? That's the only Eric I can think of.
Well, it may have been. I don't recall. In fact, I don't recall ever seeing him. But so, of course, that doesn't mean anything.
I don't recall seeing. I was a little taken by, you know, the suggestion to have a different call or something, and I just didn't understand what that conversation was about. And I'll be honest with you, and you know, I've been down here a couple of times to Colorado, and everything seems to be okay, and I don't find, you know, too many things that I can disagree with, and of course, people are free to do whatever they want, but we have to be careful when we're talking about the NLA plan or anything that would interfere with the NLA plan, that being on a national level. You know, because if people want to do something different, they're welcome to do it, but not here at NLA. And some of these things sound very, very close to something that is different than what we're doing, and I'm very concerned about that. I have gotten, since our conversation, which was only, what, yesterday or the day before? When did we talk? Yesterday, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we had the meeting just recently. Well, we just had a meeting recently with Colorado. I think it was yesterday.
I wasn't on that one.
Okay, yeah, since then I've just been getting other information, and I always get concerned. I got a few states that really just have some underlining things going on, and I just don't know what it is. And I try to make sure that we stay on point. You know, we can't have people doing things in opposition to what we're doing. We can't have people making decisions on major things concerning the plan. I mean, people joined NLA to go along with the plan. And believe me when I tell you, we have a very solid plan on enforcement. And we've kind of given an overview of to some degree of it. Of course, we cannot explain exactly what it is. But let me tell you, when you see it, you're going to know it. But anybody that is planning anything, they need to call us. I mean, if they got some good ideas, we're going to take those good ideas and we'll put it into the program, into the plan, and deal with it. But we have to all be doing the same thing. It's not going to work unless the people are united. As our front page says, only the people can save America. And in order to save America, we have to be united and not divided. So I'm very, very, you know, I want to caution everybody that they really got to be very careful in where they go with these things.
I don't guess you were in on the first part of the call, but the whole reason for this call was because one of the group has been having conversations with Sheriff Mack, and
what's that person's name?
He finally convinced Sheriff Mack to consent to a call so that we could just start opening the conversation between
what's that
him
person's
and
name?
Bruce.
Bruce, does he have a last name?
Doucette.
Bruce Doucette. Can you unmute him?
He's not on the call any longer.
Okay, because Bruce Doucette, I think, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that is the guy that was supposed to set up a meeting with us with Sheriff Mack on the 10th of December. And that never came through, but a lot of things that a lot of people say never comes through, and some things do, but that didn't.
Well,
it
took him a while to convince Richard to do this.
Yeah, I think Richard needs to be handled very carefully, and he needs to understand certain things that he has misunderstood about us and about me. He thinks that I am someone else, which I am not that other person. The person he's thinking of is a dishonorable person. I am not a dishonorable person. And he seems to think that I am because, again, he's confusing me with someone else, and there's someone talking in his ear that is anti-NLA that's very close to Sheriff Mack. And I know one of the things that Bruce was trying to convince me of, and maybe that's why he went straight to Colorado instead to me, and that was that we had to drop this common law part, that this was a problem and we needed to negotiate something out. And there's no way we're going to drop the words common law. It was done for a purpose. Numerous reasons. Number one, it separates us from the statutory side of the court, whereas they can do something if you try to make believe that you are a grand jury and you don't separate yourself in a certain way. Also, early on, it set a stage for a debate because they thought they would be able to beat us on that debate concerning the fact that they claim that common law has been abrogated. And that played right into our hands because it made the separation of us and them they did it. They made the separation and became a problem for them now to turn that around. So it's extremely important. Also, the other individual you had talking on the line concerning the common law of England, common law has been hijacked many times over the couple of thousand years of history that we know of it. And so... You know, England, of course, has the same problem that we have. They have a fraud going on. They have a fiction. And they've created the same problems in a different way, but the same problems that we have. Their problem has been in existence for a long time. The kingship of England took over probably, I'm guessing, maybe around the 1600s, particularly when it became very strong towards a king in a way that he rules all things, where the king, of course, originally under common law, which common law set up the king, was to protect the sovereign, and the sovereign were the people. Now they did divide the different people, which was wrong, but nevertheless, that was part of the plan, is that the king would represent the sovereign. So, you know, to entertain someone like that on an NLA call disturbs me, but you say it's not an NLA call, but I did hear you say earlier on this was a state call, and so I'm kind of confused on that. And again, you know, I'm very, very concerned about what's going on in different states. Colorado is one, and because I just keep hearing things all the time, little birds are whispering in my ear. And I don't jump on just anything. I try to find out for myself, and I talk to people and see if I can figure things out. And when I can figure things out, then I try to solve the problem. So far, again, you know, it's just a very close, fine line. When you tell people, for instance, that, you know, you got a plan that you're working on for enforcement and you don't want to talk, you can't talk, and then you tell me, the founder of the National Liberty Alliance, or one of the founders of National Liberty Alliance, that you'll talk to me when you get some other things going. And I say, no, I think you need to talk to me as soon as possible. If you can't do it tomorrow, maybe the next day, but you and I need to talk. I need to understand where you're coming from, and I need to understand where things are going here in Colorado. And I'd like to know a little more about Eric. He sounded pretty reasonable. And I just thought that there was some tension there. I thought he might make a good leader, but again, I don't know the guy, and you never do know anybody until you know him.
You're going to have to trust us on that one. We've all dealt with Eric,
He's got some problems in his thinking, in my opinion, but he agrees with the Constitution that was established and ratified in 1789, and that is the one. That is the key to this whole thing. And it's a very good paper when you connect it with the Bill of Rights, you know. But the other thing, I'm hearing is, Colorado is different than NLA. I heard this here, and I've heard it in other places, and that you're doing different things. And I'm just kind of confused at that. I want to be very careful. And, again, I'm not here to make waves, but we are very, very close for things to happen for the people here in the United States in the sense that we're very, very close in getting into the courts or to make such a huge move that it's going to protect the people of the United States if we don't get in soon. We will get in sooner or later, and I hope sooner than later. But nevertheless, any plan that interferes with that plan, especially if it comes from NLA or from within LA, that's a problem for us. What went on down in Florida, they just didn't want to play ball. And believe me, I I begged these people, and I put the tapes up on that begging, and I spent over an hour and a half begging these people to just return back to the plan and to do certain things, and they just didn't want to do it. So that whole thing became a debacle, and I'm convinced that he's going to jail down there. He's got a problem. And then the other thing someone brought up tonight that should have been corrected, something about common law grand juries going out and putting liens on judges. That's not what anybody in NLA has done or is doing. We have that one renegade out of Florida again that went into another state and did that with people who claimed that they appreciated what we were doing at NLA and been trying to change and move me in for over a year. And I wouldn't budge because I don't deal with, first of all, the grand jury has nothing to do with liens, especially commercial liens, but they have nothing to do with any lien. It's not their job. But that's what this guy did. And he did it in the name of the common law grand jury, and that should be corrected. We put a disclaimer on the front page so everybody should know it. And that one individual from PA, clearly he hasn't read anything on NLA site because he would have known the plan so that he can talk intelligently about us. So he hasn't done his research, and yet he's dogging the movement. And we are the only ones. We're the first and only ones, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong here. I have not seen or heard anything in the past or the present concerning any group calling themselves the Common Law Grand Jury. Now, I have heard since we started it, people who are trying to, ride off our skirts, so to speak, to get some momentum for themselves and maybe to confuse people, but I think it's more ego than anything else. And in that process of ego, it's destruction. Destruction of the only plan that I'm aware of that can save this nation without bloodshed. And I certainly hope we're going to be able to accomplish that. And anybody who does anything that interferes with that plan or does anything that puts us off track is going to be responsible for, just destroying the only possible solution that America has and potentially the world.
John, this is Steve Keno.
Yes, Steve.
I'd just like to tell you something. We here in Colorado are not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize the NLA. But we are dealing with our own set of unique circumstances here in Colorado. And we are a sovereign state.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that sovereignty. And
that's
you
right.
you will be informed about what we're doing here. But it, at the proper time, because things are in the makings and things are doing anything, but we're not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize NLA.
What was your last name again?
Keno, K-E-N-O.
Thank you. Well,
if you'll
let
just
me tell
say
you,
Steve,
let me
John,
tell
you'll
you.
Hit somebody.
Yeah, let me tell you. Okay, we have a plan, and it's the NLA plan. And when you joined up, are you a member?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, when you joined up, you understood that you're involved with a plan that's already set in motion. This isn't two plans. This isn't 10 plans. This is one plan. And until we get to where we're going, NLA on a national level is going to lead. And if you don't want to be led by them, then you can go start your own group. You're welcome to do that.
We understand.
Let me finish.
John, we understand that.
Let me finish, okay? Okay, but you could start your own group if that's what you want to do. But I want to tell you something. This is not a democracy. This is not a republic. You don't have any rights as far as I'm concerned for me because I'm not the government. We have a plan, and we intend on executing that plan, and we intend on doing the best we can to save this nation. Once we get people into power and authority, then they're off on their own. And I've said this from the very beginning, and I say it often enough. At some point, NLA must decrease and the people must increase. But until we get to where we're going, NLA is the leader of this program. I have tried for a long time to try to, talk in such a way as almost a partnership, but then people, you get too many people, they get involved, and everybody all of a sudden, they're an individual, they're sovereign, they're this and they're that, and they want to take us 12 different directions. We can't get 12 different directions. Either you agree with the NLA plan and you go forward. If you're making another plan, which it sounds like you just told me, that you've got other things and you're sovereign and you're going to do what you're going to do and you'll reveal it when you're ready, well, then that's going against what we've set up. And you are more than welcome to do what you want to do, but not with NLA and not with NLA's people and not on NLA's call. Now, this call went out to Sheriff Mack. I was informed about it 2 days ago. I didn't mean to get on here, but I had so many other things in a radio interview, and I forgot all about it. And I figured, yeah, I'll get the recording later, because we found out about it this evening, and because we had missed Sheriff Mack on this thing. But then we got a call from someone said, hey, you better go in and listen to what Sheriff Mack is saying about NLA. We got on and we missed him, so we don't know what he was saying about NLA. So it sounds like it wasn't too good. But what really bothers me is this, is that this guy here, and I believe it was Bruce, and I can't stand corrected, so I'm not saying it was, but I'm pretty sure it was, who came to me to meet up to try to patch up between myself and Sheriff Mack. He failed to call me. He never followed up on it. Then he settled up with Colorado. I heard about this. And from my understanding of my conversation with that group was that they were going to talk with Sheriff Mack and work things out, and that would be a stepping stone. But now I hear it's not an NLA call. So if it's not an NLA call, it's not bringing an NLA position, and therefore nobody has any right to do anything like that to talk with this guy, which is a very dangerous thing for us because we really would like to get Sheriff Mack on our side. But you know what? He doesn't understand the Constitution. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. He doesn't know and he doesn't understand. And he also is listening to the wrong people. And he doesn't like this common law business. It's got to change. We're not willing to change anything. And if that means we can't get a communications with Mac because he wants us to do something that he wants us to do, well, then so be it. We go forward without him. He's not the only sheriff in town, and he's not a sheriff right now anyway. And his influence is limited to some degree. But in any event, we just need to do the right thing and get the right message out. And I'm going to tell you one more time again for the last time that NLA has a plan. And if you have some other plans, you need to talk to me about it so I can tell you whether we can incorporate it into the NLA plan or you can do away with it and forget it or you can go your way and do your own plan. Whichever it is, it's your choice. Okay, but I don't want to come back to Colorado no more. I got other things to be doing. I'm really busy. It's midnight here for me in New York, and I'd like to go to sleep. But I'll tell you, I also am very concerned about this phone call, about this call tonight, and I'm going to reserve anything else. I think until I hear the whole program, and then I think we'll talk some more.
Yeah, that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that. Like I said, when I get this done, I'll send you the download. I'll send you the link where you can listen. So either way, you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah, just send me the link because I don't think you'll get the I can only get so many megs, and it doesn't come through. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know how free conference call works.
Mm-hmm.
Better than I do.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, just send me the info and I'll get it from there. All right, with that, I have nothing else to say, I think. I think we need to talk some more, and I think you guys need to tell me what the plans are that you think you need to not tell me yet. You need to tell me. So whatever they are, let's talk about it, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do. Look, we have a lot of partners across this nation, and those partners became partners because they had people with backgrounds and abilities and knowledge in certain areas. They came up with great ideas, and they participate with the plan. Don't go off the plantation, so to speak. Stay in the game. If you got something that's good, maybe it's something we're already doing. Maybe it's something we can tag in. Maybe it's something we realize we don't want to do. But whatever it is, the decision has to be made on the national level so that we can all do the same thing across the nation in order to get into the courts, because there's no other way we're going to get in unless we're united. So. Give me a call and let's talk about these things personally and you know, privately, and then and we'll see where we go from there. You know,
okay.
I'm available all weekend.
Okay, John, I will do it.
All right, you can take the next call. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay, is that you again, Keno?
I'm still here.
Okay, who's 480 or 4085? Well, you're on here twice.
No, that's not me.
Okay. You should have heard that you were unmuted. 4085. 719 area code. Okay.
We'll move on here.
That's Ricky.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Hey, it's been interesting, if I could say that, at the least. You know, insane world out there that we live in. Thanks for taking my call. Who was that, John? Was that John?
That was.
John, I'm sure you're still listening. Take my number down, 970-731-0102. And I would like to have you on the air because I think you're totally wrong. You know, I would like to talk to you live on the air and discuss this face-to-face kind of thing, you know, Skype or whatever. But John, you're totally wrong, buddy. I love you. I love what you're doing, but you're totally wrong. Because what you're saying is this. You're saying that because there is a NLA, because there is a National Liberty Alliance, we need to be following your rules and what you're doing. But, John, I have to say this 100% from the bottom of my heart. I love you, but you're totally wrong. We follow you guys, the National Liberty Alliance. You guys are the leaders out there, and we're following you. We're watching you, and we're seeing what you're doing out there. But the thing is maybe, by chance, your rules and the applications that you're doing do not apply in our county. Maybe, by chance, we're dealing with different kind of folks than you do, okay? I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're up there in New York. I'm out here in Colorado. But, buddy, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I love you, man. But you gotta think. It's not all about what you're doing. It's about what we as a community are doing in our community. I mean, is that a control thing? You want to hear everything we're doing here in Colorado? Well, then you need to listen and follow what we're doing here in Archuleta County. You know, what are we doing here in Archuleta County? Does it ruffle your feathers because we're not doing something the way you would like it to be done out there in New York? Well, you know what, buddy? I am sorry. We are following you guys like a toolbox. You have given us inspiration and tools that we can use and an understanding and this and that and the other. What? We can't use your tools without your permission? Is that what you're saying? And, you know, I'm going to be really blunt. You know, and I'm that kind of guy, and I'm going to be really, really, really blunt. Okay, John, out there in New York, you need to pull your head out of your ass because you're not leading the country. You're empowering the country. You're showing them what's happening. You're giving us tools. It's not your job. It's not your job to tell me what I'm doing in Archuleta County. Okay? Just get over that. You're not the supreme leader. You're not the new Obama. Okay? Just get over that. And I'm being blunt. Okay? I'm being totally blunt, and that's the way I am. But you are a teacher. You are a person that is bringing us into the information that we need to use in our counties to fight the tyranny. But it is not your job to dictate to us what we are doing. It's lead, follow, or get out of the way. We're doing what we know to do. We're doing the best that we can, and we do not need your blessing. And I yield the floor.
Thank you, Reggie. Yeah, because there's still questions are still queuing up here. Okay, 9729.
That's me.
Okay.
I'm here already.
Okay, well, it showed that you had a question, so I can't follow all these numbers.
It's like Steve's. There's Steve's everywhere, and there's numbers everywhere.
Yeah. It's just so confusing. Okay, Kino, I'm going to the next question, and I think you're still unmuted, so. Okay, 0610. You should be unmuted. Okay. 970-0610. You're unmuted. Have you dropped? Okay. Then we'll move on to the next one. 715-2123.
Hi. Hello, this is Carl from Wisconsin, actually.
Hello,
I'm a
Carl.
Coordinator here. Hi. Say, listen, I just have a couple things to say that I have gleaned out of the conversation with Richard Mack and all the other fine gentlemen over there, primarily in Colorado. I do think that it's really important, you know, this country has been going in a very negative direction for at least 10 decades now. I find that the worst part of it is from 1913 on with what I call the trifecta tyranny, which is the ratification of the non-ratified 16th Amendment, the ratification of the non-ratified 17th Amendment, and then, of course, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. From that point, everything has been going, you know, completely upside down. Some people go back to the acts that happened in 1871. I understand that, but I don't think we need to go back that far. It's just a confusion. It's dispersing everybody. But my point is that we really need to be united because we need to have the force of everybody across the country to combat the enemy that we have today that is a constitutional enemy that is basically really our Republican and Democrat parties and our elected public servants who are disrespecting our constitutional laws left and right. They spend money up north of $18 trillion that were in public debt. In addition to that, they have another $116 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And sooner or later, gentlemen, they're going to expect us to pay for that. Not only that, but the municipalities, the counties, and the states, and the federal government are enacting laws that are completely repugnant to the Constitution. And then they have these unconstitutional sheriffs and the unconstitutional police come and saddle us with these laws and make us obey and manipulate us and control us to obey these laws. And they throw us in jail. They fine us on things that they're not, that's outside of their constitutional prerogatives. And we did not give them that power, okay, they're reserved either directly to us or, you know, in terms of the federal government, it's reserved to the states and not the federal government and all sorts of things like that. So we really need to come together. Somehow we need to find, you know, common ground. I mean, Sheriff Mack wants us, and I understand this, actually. I kind of agree with him. He wants us to really work on pulling together the sheriffs and working together and being like a sheriff's posse sort of thing. And I understand that because I'm also involved with Wisconsin state sovereignty and the 10th Amendment, and also I have a national organization called Solidarity for 9th and 10th Amendments Coalition. All these things actually fit together perfectly, And what Richard Mack is actually talking about will automatically bring in the common law grand jury, because what he's planning on doing won't work without us. And we can't work without Sheriff Mack. So we need to, and Sheriff Mack has already started on pulling all the sheriffs together. I think he has about 450, something north of 450 constitutional sheriffs, from what I've read before, and I've been involved with the organization for a long time. We need him. We need his ability to pull things together, and he needs us to pull even more together in our local communities and counties and our states and make this whole thing work and pull together, and he's going to need us. Now, I don't know if he really sees that yet exactly, because I didn't hear that. He kind of does, but he kind of doesn't. I mean, I think it does need to be called a common law jury because of the history of the United States and the fact that we're based on common law and Blackstone and all of that, and John Locke and so forth, which is all based on basically common law, and the foundation of our Constitution is based on common law, and so we need to go forth with that. I don't think we can legally really change the name, but I do understand where Mac's coming from. I think we need to find an inroad into what Sheriff Mack is asking us to do, but also keep up with what we're doing. I mean, we've done a lot with NLA here in the state of Wisconsin, for sure, and I think most everybody else has. We need to keep that going at the same time, but also work together with Sheriff Mack and the sheriffs, and we also need to also do state sovereignty and the Ninth and Tenth Amendment laws and restore those laws. Because the Ninth and Tenth Amendments are the two laws in the Constitution that support, protect, defend, and will restore our entire Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the whole Constitution. Because what the states can do with state sovereignty and the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798 by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson is start to incrementally state nullify all federal spending, all usurpation, and all unlawful acts and of Congress and the executive branch. We can incrementally nullify those, including incrementally nullify withholding taxes, employment taxes, matching employer taxes, and all income taxes until all this stuff is reversed and all the usurpations are given back to states and the American middle-class paychecks are nearly doubled in size. And then the only problem that we're going to have is a small business that are going to have a real difficult time building enough manufacturing plants and finding enough people to employ there in order to keep up with the demand of the American middle class. And all these things fit together like a glove, but we got to find a way to unite around all these things and all these issues. And we do need to do things kind of in a multi-pronged sense, but we definitely got to work with Sheriff Mack. We need him. I think he's critical. And his organization, his entire Constitutional Sheriffs organization, we just need to do
yeah,
that.
I don't really disagree with you, Carl. We do need to come together as a people, but. Even in this group here in Colorado, we have some rather lively discussions in our state calls, we've had to deal with a number of different people that just didn't want to get on the same page, and but the good thing about that is, in my opinion, and this brings up the Black Fly Brigade again. If we're attacking them from a whole lot of different directions at the same time, and we'll drive them crazy, because there's no way they can combat that. But we do have to be ready to stand up when this gets done. and it will get done. And
yeah.
That's where we, you know, really need to start being united.
Sure.
You know, so that it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we
don't go out on
witch hunt.
I think the consistency thing is something that John Durash is trying to pull together, so we're all kind of focused and working together at the same time as well. I understand exactly where John's coming from. I understand where Sheriff Mack is coming from, and I understand where Bruce is coming from. I can see all of it. We just got to pull it all together. You know, we've got a couple of different things going on here, and it's really the same thing, darn near. But we just need to pull it all together. Okay. So
yeah.
With that, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get a hold of John Durash tomorrow. It's just a little too late right now. And then hopefully, you know, we can pull all this together. It sounded like Sheriff Mack was willing to talk to John and try to iron things out, which is really cool. I think we need to do that. I'll see if I can pull that together a little bit and then go on from there. I guess that's all that I have, unless you have any questions at all for me.
No, it's great, Carl. Thank you. And you know, we're at the 3.5 hour mark here so far. So got a few more questions. So
I will
move on.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I really appreciate you putting together this teleconference, and it was really important and great to have Sheriff Mack on the line. That was awesome.
Well, thank you,
thank you very much.
Thank you for attending.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Okay, area code 484, 1072.
Boy, you guys sure stir up a hornet's nest there in Colorado, don't you?
We do our best. We're just
and,
after.
And Durash called in right after I called last time.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I tell you, must
you're
be
the problem.
What's that?
So you're the problem.
I'm trying not to be a problem. I'm just pointing out our history and things that are like what was it called? Uncomfortable considerations. I'm sorry. I don't know your first name.
I'm Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. Like I said, if you throw a rock in this group, you'll hit a Steve.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Rice.
Okay, Steve. I just wanted to make a comment that the caller after me claimed that common law was corrupted by the crown. That's not really accurate.
TJ,
yeah. Yeah.
So say that again.
The caller after me seemed to indicate that the common law was corrupted by the British Crown, which is not really accurate because the British Crown really was the source of common law. Under feudal common law in Britain, the Crown passed down dictates to the judiciary, which passed down to the people. You know, and so basically, he was the source of sovereignty in the states. We look at today in this country, we're overridden by illegal aliens that are getting citizenship by mere birth on U.S. soil. That wasn't the intention of the 14th Amendment. That only happened 30 years after the 14th Amendment in 1898, when Justice Horace Gray issued his decision in Wong Kim Ark. United States versus Wong Kim Ark. And not only did he fabricate that after 111 years we're suddenly subject to the king's laws under common law, but he fabricated anchor babies out of the blue and forced the government, the United States government and Congress, to recognize dual allegiance for the first time ever, even though only 6 years after the 14th Amendment 24 years before Juan K. Mark was decided, the United States Congress had said this country has never recognized dual allegiance. That meant that any person born on this soil of parents that were not citizens was not themselves a citizen. So we owe a lot of our problems to the forced application of the common law in this country. The
right.
pretense, the belief that the common law is somehow our friend and somehow synonymous with protecting our rights just is not the truth. And we need to get that out of our heads if we're going to fix this problem at all.
You bring up a great point. History is what got us here.
Right.
And so the question is, where do we want to go from here?
Yeah.
And how are we going to get there?
A couple of the callers have brought up Blackstone in relationship to the common law, and my early article on Natural Born to Find, I referenced Blackstone, and he recognizes in his 1765 commentaries that it was the result of the Crown under King Edward III progressively changing the definition of natural-born subject in that country that actually made a person a natural-born subject if they were born on other soil, other than the Crown soil, if their parents had been subjects. And the reason that he did this, Blackstone recognizes, is to increase the treasury so that these people would be, responsible for paying taxes to the Crown. And that wasn't done by any courts. It wasn't done by the House of Lords and the House of Commons. That was done by the decree of the Crown. But eventually, if you go back far enough into British history, you can find out what is recognized by another British jurist by the name of Matthew Bacon is almost the exact same thing as what the courts have recognized as a natural-born citizen, and that is born to parents whose parents who are subjects at the time of birth were under the actual obedience of the king and born in the country, and whose place of birth is in the Dominion. That's like what the U.S. Supreme Court has said repeatedly over this country's history, recognizing Emmerich de Vattel's definition of natural-born citizen, which is born in the country of parents who are a citizen. That is somebody who's naturally a citizen of the country because they can't possibly be anything else because they're not born with allegiance to anything else. That is natural law. It's a self-evident law. If you can't be a citizen of any other country, you're a citizen of this very country. And that's the root of our natural law. And the difference, one of the main differences between our natural law and Britain's common law.
Yeah.
We need to figure this out. If we want to get back our heredity, if we want to get back our freedoms, we need to understand that the common law has nothing to do with this country's principles whatsoever. In fact, it's hostile to it, and it was used to corrupt this country with an issue we're still facing today with being overrun by illegal aliens and anchor babies and chain migration.
Yeah. Yeah, so, really, we're, again, all of this stuff is based on history, and it's, valid, and it's been changed, several times through the centuries, at least several times. It's been distorted. It's been confusing, and I have a great deal of respect for people like yourself who have been willing to track this down and make these connections. But we're at the point where we're going to have to create it differently. My opinion.
Yeah, I agree. We got to do something differently. But the problem is, this is the way I see it. We have two choices. We adhere to the Constitution, and we demand adherence to the Constitution. Or the second choice is we step outside its Constitution, and then for the first time ever, except for the very beginning of this country, we have no way to be certain of what we're going to end up with. The one blessing we had when this country was founded is we didn't have in this country any grounding of political philosophy before us. There was no monarchy in this country. We were governed by a monarchy external to us. And even then, we still have the effects today of that monarchy influence upon us by these references to the common law.
Yes. Go ahead.
There are a couple of quotes that have been made over this country's history. The first was by George Mason, who was considered the father of the Bill of Rights, because they took Virginia's Bill of Rights and modified them largely to make our Bill of Rights. And George Mason was influential in the Bill of Rights. But in a debate in the Virginia Ratifying Conventions on June 19, 1788, he said, "The common law of England is not the common law of these states." And that's true. We began to have our own court precedent, our own case law in this country. And then more recently, in contemporary history, in 2008, Justice Antonin Scalia, while addressing the Federalist Society in Washington, D.C., indicated that the common law is gone. The federal courts never applied the common law, and even in the state courts, it is codified now. So we're looking at basically a fundamental problem that the common law really was not an overriding principle of this country at any point. It was basically unwritten precedent, undocumented accumulated practice and terminology and things like that, like referring to the bar in the courtroom and things like that. Different practices that we acquired from our British history. But as far as being an overriding governing principle of this country, it's just not the case. If you look at the state of Florida and you go to the Florida's Supreme Court webpage, you will see them discussing the state of Florida's involvement in common law and the expression, the representation of that common law back in this country's history. And at one point, the state of Florida actually had to vote when they were going to adopt the common law from. And they chose as a symbolic date to go back to July 4, 1776. Which doesn't mean that they sorted through all of the British common law that was nowhere written down in the first place for them to sort through and see what they were going to apply or not apply. It was a symbolic date. But this Supreme Court page in Florida also indicates that among those common law principles they recognized was witch trials, burning witches at the stake. That also is a function of the common law, and it's really not a governing principle of this country that has anything to do with rights. It just has to do with our basic heritage and nothing more, and something that we rose above to recognize unalienable rights that are not granted to us by government, that are not granted to us by any sovereign.
Right. We grant those authorities to the government, and they, of course, have abused that beyond belief.
Yep. You've had a rough night, Steve, and I feel bad for you.
I do what?
You've had a rough night, and I feel bad for you.
Thank you. It's okay. I don't have a problem with it except for, you know, operating the board. But we are moving up on 4 hours now, so, and we got a couple more callers, and I know one that's going to skin me alive if I don't let him get in here.
I'd be happy to let you yield, and it was a pleasure talking to you, and again, thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. You should be unmuted, 719-4085.
Yeah, this is Ted in El Paso County.
Hello, Ted.
Boy, you know how to test an old fart's patience.
Well, that's because I are one.
I know. You know what? The whole call tonight I thought was very good, very interesting, brought out many, many points that we need to ponder and think about. One, I hope Eric will understand how the people on this call gave him all due respect on his call and allowed him to get his thoughts and what he wanted in on the call. It was, I thought it was very respectful. And then for him to yield and go on, I thought that was good. I would like to throw one little thought in here, though. The sheriff over in New Mexico, down there in Carlsbad, if he'd have stuck mm-hmm. with the Constitution, he wouldn't have stood against the Internal Revenue Service. I don't believe that term's in the Constitution anywhere. He just knows that they're not going to step on the rights of his citizens. So I just throw that in there, just kind of something to think about. Anyway, back to point. I would like to wish Bruce were still on the call, because the question I would like to ask is to Mr. Mack, Richard Mack, and to a couple of others that came out. But the main thing is when he said that a lot of these sheriffs out here think that we in the common law grand jury movement are kooky, there was never one description of what that means. Why do they think we are kooky? What are we doing that is turning these people off, and including the vets today? What is the common law grand jury doing that is turning these people off? We cannot fix something if we don't know what it is. I'm a little bit tired of these people coming on these calls and accusing without having a remedy. We can't change anything if we don't know what they are talking about. I have a little bit of a problem being called a kook. I want to know why I'm being called one. Is it because I park my hair on the right wrong side or what? I don't know. But yeah. you see what I'm trying to bring out.
It's a good point, Ted.
We need to know these things, because I think it's a good point. You know, with NLA, if John's still on the call or Gary or whomever, I have talked to these guys up one side and down the other about the state of Colorado standing firm with NLA, and I am a little bit weary of the people coming in here and telling them that we are changing direction or whatever. No, we're not. We are standing on our own 2 feet in our counties. The state as a whole.
And we are doing everything they're asking.
Yeah, the state as a whole is moving forward with NLA, but by God, these counties need to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they are doing. The gentleman from Pennsylvania, I guess that's where he's from, talking about the common law grand jury not being the right thing. Again, I've not heard his dissertation on what it needs to be. We're not England. We are not the English common law. Our common law comes from Almighty God, as far as I know. And this is all filtered through these different countries. You know, we got the Mayflower Compact. We got the Northwest Ordinance. We do have the United States of America, however it's spelled, up one side and down the other, you know, two different ways. Lots of things going on. But it's still, just exactly what you're trying to get across to us, Steve, is it is this black brigade. It is we, the people, that are standing together, that are bringing something together. And it is not wrong to call it a common law grand jury. That's just what we're calling it. We could call it the old farts club or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is something.
Because we do have enough of those.
Yeah, we do, you know, but we're using something, and we are coming together, and but that's my question to the sheriff and to these guys over here in the veterans bunch. What is it that's turning them off about the common law grand jury? Once we know that, then we can work on getting it changed. And sharing that with John, you know, he asked us to share these things with him. But here's one other point, too. I'll bring this up. When he asked you what you were doing, Steve, out there with you and Steve Curry and the guys down there in Archuleta County, and y'all didn't come out and just spill your guts on the thing, then he turns right around and does exactly the same thing to you all. He's got it all figured out, but he can't say anything. So, again, it's a little bit hard to swallow all of this stuff going around. It's a matter of people discussing these things and discussing them. That's what we're doing. That's kind of all I have to say, but just that question there, what is it that they see that makes us kooky, and so we can work on that and come
yeah.
together. As a matter of fact, I like listening to that. To Richard and his story. I liked it very much. It gives me a little bit more hope that we can start working forward with these sheriffs. You know, it's a two-edged sword. Some are going to be constitutional and some aren't. The ones that aren't, you give them a shot, then you remove them. You work forward with the ones that will.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I liked about it, Ted, was that what I wanted to get across to everybody is that, you know, he made a stand. And every one of us in this group and probably everyone that's still on the call and was on the call tonight, you know, we've all made our individual stands at some point, or we wouldn't be here having these kinds of conversations.
True.
And, you know, and it's... It's passionate stuff. You know, people are passionate about their stands, and rightfully so. And that's one of the areas where we've got a lot of commonality. We don't know exactly, and even Richard said, you know, he didn't know how he was going to do any of that. You know, but then the ways opened up. And that's where we all are right now. But we got some great people working on it. And as you well know, we can have some lively discussions.
And that's true, you know, and I guess kind of what I see is the honesty in the state of Colorado with people speaking out and talking about what they're doing. Yeah, there's a few things that are moving forward and need to be researched a little more, but I don't see anybody in Colorado speaking up and saying that New York needs to change its way of doing things, or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, and they are their states and working on their things. We are the state of Colorado, and we're doing the very best we know how. And I am one of those that is very proud of each and every one of our Coloradoans within these boundaries. It is a tremendous group of people, and
never been associated with.
I think we would.
Life.
Yeah, we would reach out to these other states as well to work with them, but. Again, I get a little bit tired of states coming in here and trying to tell us how we need to think or what we need to do. Together, we will get it figured out if we work together and keep discussing, keep our discussions open and lively. That's what will win this thing. But we have got to hurry. We've got to stay on track and on point. The 2 points, I believe, are just going to make my vote, working with the sheriffs and working with the common law grand jury. You can take it however you want. Common law grand jury first, sheriff second, sheriff's first, common law grand jury second. They go hand in hand to bring our Constitution in, bring this republic back to where it belongs.
Agreed. Agreed. But if that's it, I got one more caller, and then we can all get off of here. So you got anything else, Ted?
No, sir, that's it. Thank you all very much for everything. Everybody that's been on the call, thank you very much, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Ted. Okay, I saved the best for last.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I thought I wasn't getting through.
You were getting through.
I hung up several times and dialed back in, start all brand new. Well, I had all kinds of things I wanted to say, but I'm glad you held me back. This thing about not talking with Mac, I understood, but it was their agenda to promote Mac, not to listen to anything else. It was nothing on having you and you're doing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to credit your efforts on a call that was stacked against you, especially by Durash. How dare him come in and threaten us? We are a sovereign state. He has no respect for the freedom or the sovereignty of this state or any other state for him to do that. If he thinks
well,
he has a
point. You know, I understand his position on this. I don't totally disagree with it, but, we're not doing anything nefarious here, but we just don't want to expose what we're trying until we see some results. So,
well, it's true. The thing is, he doesn't want to rain on his parade.
Yeah. And
he thinks you're a competition.
And as you well know, if this is an avenue that people can pursue, then it can solve a whole lot of issues. But like I said, it's just not ready for publication yet, as you well know.
I do, and it shouldn't be for some time. It should be a way of our life here. Not only that, it's lawful, legal, justifiable, beneficial, but we should certainly use it. For them to come in is one of competition that is no good for freedom. It was the call was incredible. So many opinions. So many. I had so many things to say, and of course I still do. And there's some gravel in the driveway that hasn't gotten any attention for a while. I'll go out there and tell them that. Most of the people there that called back was there's a lot of contest to him. Charlie is one of Durash's soldiers, and she is very deceptive, manipulative. I want you to think this and that in all her presentation to you while she is attending to another agenda, and that is the Durash agenda, the unified agenda, of which how can he knock down common law and say it's not even that it's illegal or somewhat corrupt? These things that they come up through history is frightening. why they would come up with something where it did come from the English countryside. And it was part of the land. Common was for people. And it is also natural. It is natural law, and the one said it isn't. There's natural law, common law, commercial law, and so on. It is a law form. None of them seem to recognize that. And Darash, what is, you know, he had nothing to say that how he could do that. And his rudeness is equal to a pile of shit. I mean, that is how welcoming it is. A big steamy pile of shit thrown on top of you in the middle of your dinner table. Yeah. That's what kind of respect he has.
Well, this is what I get for making you wait so long.
Well, you didn't want me to tell him. You knew I would tell him. You should have heard me over here.
I heard you. I heard you.
I wish I'd known.
Didn't need any other form of communication. You
just go ahead and treat me the way you want. I appreciate it. I really do. I have. I can really take it all. But I was quite disturbed at some of the calls. The one that called in saying that you actually sent him a kind of card and invited him that he would be able to express himself. Well, I think he did. And he was pretty rude, correct in a way, but his rudeness completely destroyed any point he had.
Well, and you know, that's typical of his kind of conversations. And, you know, I know that, and everybody else knows that. And
so I came away with one question left.
Okay.
I have one. Yeah, one question. What do you do this for, Steve? Look, if you want people to point fingers and yell at
myself, Nelson.
I can't even. That's a pain. Okay, you have a talent. I don't even know what to call it. But
be careful there.
Well, I said I don't know what to call it, so we're all right. It is a talent. I don't know how many calls there. I had 4 hours, and you gave every one of them. Every one of them. And I didn't think I was ever on there at all. I never thought I was seen. And you're signed off.
Apparently, there's a couple of people that didn't want you to be the last caller. Because as soon as I let you on, I got two more up.
Just now, right now?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's Mr. Darash. I will be very pleased. No, darn it, I can't tell him. I'll tell him straight out what I... also tell him if it wasn't...
No need, Nelson, no need.
All right.
Yeah.
There is a good thing. When I was charged with this... bringing it into Colorado, he was the only source of information, and I only had a telephone, and so I listened to him for 5 Mondays. But okay, go ahead. What a night!
Yeah,
you got two more people on there.
We still got quite a few, and like I said, a couple more questions, and then
you want me to listen, or you want? You want me to hang up and listen? I mean, or listen while I'm still open?
You'll get muted again so that you can scream and nobody will hear you.
I hate it. I love it. I hate it. I love it. Okay, go
for it. The council just wonder what the hell's going on.
I think so. Yeah, it just went back and forth crazy.
Yeah.
Are you taking those calls? I got to listen to these last two calls.
All righty. Well, then I'll get them up here.
All right.
We'll talk soon, Nelson.
Well, I'm coming down to tomorrow with the the medicine.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
And I'll see you around 10 to noon.
Oh, you bet. I plan on being here unless somebody kidnaps me between now and then.
Okay. I'll take myself off of the board.
Well, you don't have to. It'll do it automatically here as soon as I click this mouse button.
Okay.
Technology. It's amazing.
Okay, yeah. I had a lot of that in life.
Okay. We'll talk tomorrow. Okay. 970-9729.
You don't know who this is by now?
Oh, hell no. I got numbers floating around in front of my eyes.
It's Keno again.
I know. I can tell the voice. I just couldn't tell the number. I knew it looked familiar.
Well, I love Nelson.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Durash got a taste of the Western Slope. I don't think he's going to be back here too much in the future.
Well, you know, and again, I you know, we've spoken about this before. What he's put together is amazing. You know, and there's lots of good information. And, you know, again, he's trying to, you know, create this on the national level. And,
well, that's all.
I don't know of anybody that's taken
that's all
on
well
successful.
And fine. But he has to come to the reality that every single state has different problems that they're dealing with, and they have to deal with them separately. But that's not taking away from the NLA.
Right.
And them, those folks back east don't understand us folks out here, how blunt we are.
You know, that's always been the case, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want an answer to the question, don't ask the question, because you might not like the answer you're going to get.
But yeah, but again, and you know this very well, you know, really,
we have our own unique situation here in Colorado.
We
do.
And
I'm sure the people in Texas have their unique situation, and the people in Utah have their unique situation.
And you, better than most, know how lively our state discussions can be.
And how productive they can be.
That's the word, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know, again, and I hate to keep repeating this, but I've never been involved with a group of people like this, and it's amazing, astounding, and the talents that each of us have is that's contributing to the whole.
We've got a great family here in Colorado,
right?
And we're going to get it done.
But just like all families, there's a lot of sibling rivalry.
Well, that's true, but Sheriff Mack hit one thing right on the head when he said we got to take this back one county at a time, one state at a time.
Yep.
And he hit the nail right on the head. And I 100% agree. You know, it might be with the sheriffs, it might be with the common law grand jury. We're not going to put either one ahead of the other. We're going to work on both of them. I mean, we are multitasking, aren't we? Isn't that the right word?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think we might be a level above multitasking.
You think? I know my computer's full.
Yeah, mine too. And we know where most of it came from, huh?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. Charlie keeps me pretty well loaded up, too.
Anyway, we got
people from
all
over
the country.
Yeah, I
was just going to say, you know, we got one more caller.
Well, I'll bow out of here. You get that one more caller in.
Yeah, because I really want to bring her in hear what she's got to say.
You betcha. I will always bow out to a lady.
Yeah, and she's a nice lady. We will talk.
Yes, we will. In fact, when you get done with this, when you get done with this call, call me.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay.
Thanks, Gino.
You betcha.
This is Esther in Pueblo.
Yes, Esther, how are you, dear?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am totally entertained after 4 hours, okay?
Yeah.
I have thoroughly
That's
enjoyed
no
the
small
call.
Accomplishment.
I have a word for Nelson, okay, that he was fishing for, and I want to award you for your talents in diplomacy. You did a superb job tonight.
Thank you.
I have to give it to you. And you handled it all very well. I'm surprised at some things some supposed smart people say. But then again, I think I'm probably older than you are, and I've heard them all.
I doubt by much.
Uh-huh, I'll bet you. At any rate, I've had 4 hours of productive education. I'm a newbie at this, and you know the reason why I got involved. And
yes,
at any rate, it was not just education for me, but it was entertainment. And as I said before, I give you the award for supreme diplomacy with the way you handled it all. You did great. I have one thing, though, that I would object to. And if you decide along the way that you want to change the name, I don't go for the Old Farts Club. Something
well,
a little
yeah,
better than that.
Let's come up with a new one.
Yeah, right. And I did. I listened to Sheriff Mack in Pueblo, thoroughly enjoyed him, and I think we're going the right direction in both the sheriffs, and I'm personally going to go see our little undersheriff that I almost helped raise with my son, and
wow.
I'm hoping that he has some respect enough to listen to what I have to say at this point. And I bought him a whole set of Sheriff Mack books. So, but no, I just can't believe I stayed with you all night. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and you did educate me. And I do give you the award for supreme diplomacy. You did well.
Well, thank you very much, Esther. That's
yeah, no problem.
That's high praise coming from you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for all you guys have done for me. I appreciate it, okay?
You're very
and,
welcome.
Yeah, I'm ready to go to bed. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, well, apparently my schedule isn't done for the day.
Oh, well, I heard you got to make another call. But no,
yeah.
I'm just about at that point. So thank you very much. I do appreciate all that you've done. I can't believe
thank
that
you
have anybody else listening at this point. But
yeah,
at any rate.
Do.
You do?
We do.
You still got numbers.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm amazed, too.
Okay.
So I'm gonna take us out of Q&A and hang on. Okay. So everybody is live, and I think we've reached a point here where it's time to sign off, and you know, everybody can
add a last word or just say goodbye. But I will be shutting the conference off here shortly.
How about just plain old We the People instead of Old Farts Club?
I like that.
I'll go with that, Ted.
That's for Esther.
Ted, you're
I think even Esther would agree with that.
Steve, you definitely get the diplomat's trophy tonight.
Uh-oh.
Well, thank you. But, you know,
this is that jackass in Pennsylvania that somebody made reference to. He didn't call me a jackass. That was implied.
Ah.
Wear it well.
It's got to count for something, though, that I'm sitting here in Valley Forge, a stone's throw away from where Washington winter, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it counts that you're sitting anywhere.
All of our problems cease the minute we stop drawing breath.
I'm not sure about that.
I'll let you know. The verdict's out on that one.
Right.
Well, I don't know about anybody else here, but I plan on living to be at least 100 just so I can piss everybody off.
A little bit more.
Well, you're getting started a little early, aren't you?
Keno, you've never pissed me off yet. Apparently, I've pissed you off, but and that wasn't even when I was trying to.
Yeah. Well, that's when you can get to him the best.
I come by it naturally, apparently.
Yeah.
Rick Wine.
Tripp, you're all right, but I'd just like to hear more positive things come from out of you.
I got a lot of positive things, and I do have some ideas, but, you know, first you got to get the car out of the ditch before you're going to get it rolling down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Is this thing on? Am I here?
Yep.
Yeah, you're here.
Oh, wow. Rick White, Archuleta County.
Oh, not you, Rick.
Not me again. You know,
sorry, I couldn't resist.
One thing I want to say is it's just listening to people in different parts of our country doing something. That alone is just an inspiration, okay, 100%. Off the top, you know, you guys out there doing something in Colorado, off the top. Tripwire, Trip, you hear me?
Yes, sir, I do, and I left you a message on Skype, too.
Hey, Tripwire, do you hear me?
I do.
Okay. You have been pegged as a fed, as a disruptor.
I've heard that before from other people, and it's kind of laughable because I haven't heard any feds actually citing the Constitution and
Tripwire, let me finish, and then I'll give you the floor. Okay, let me finish.
Okay, you're gonna finish accusing me of being a fed?
Buddy, I got the floor right now. Okay, I've got the floor right now, okay? And then I'll finish, and then I will turn the floor over to you. Is that
okay
with you?
Yeah, okay. How long do you want me to sit here while you accuse me of being a fed?
Okay. I have only one statement. You have been pegged. You're a disinformation person. You get involved in people and turning people against people. Tripwire, I want you to respond to what you have been doing out there in the chat, okay? So, what are you doing? What's up with you, buddy?
What have I been doing in the chat? Ricky, when was the last time you saw a federal agent citing the Constitution? When was the last time you saw a federal agent trying to get Operation American Spring for months, long before you even were on the scene, before you even heard about Operation American Spring, to get it on the rails so that we could actually restore the Constitution rather than having Harry Reilly advocate setting up a tribunal run by hand-select persons in total contradiction to the Constitution, but right out of the martial law handbook. I have been advocating things that will restore our freedoms, not overthrow them. I got a lot of people that don't like being disagreed with accusing me of things, and I actually, in an earlier call, brought up being accused of being a government agent. And, you know, what's really kind of interesting, if you go to the Book of Revelations, they refer to the devil there by the name of the accuser in the Book of Revelations. And why that's so horrible is because the accuser never comes with any evidence to support the accusations. It's just the charge itself. I've got no association with the federal government, Ricky.
All right, I'm good with that, but I have seen your actions. And
I've seen your actions too, Ricky.
I gave you your time spot. Yes, you know, I gave you your time spot. Is it my turn, or you want to go ahead?
Go right ahead, and then I will respond to what you claim my actions are.
All right. Well, you know, we've all seen your actions. We've seen your disinfo. We've seen how you have
disinfo.
Are you talking while I'm talking, or what, buddy?
Are you going to actually provide some reference for your claims, Ricky, or are you going to continue to be the
all kinds of references, buddy? We got it all. We got it all figured out. We know who you are.
Good night, all. Mr. Rice, call me when you close this call up.
I want to put a warning on Tripwire. Okay, we've caught him. We know what he does. We know how he disrupts people and this and that and the other. I just want to put that out as a warning to everybody. Tripwire is either insane, needs drugs, or a fed. And I yield the floor.
Notice, folks, there's no actual evidence offered there, no reference whatsoever. Just as a point of interest,
Let me tell you something. We got you figured out, okay?
Ricky, you haven't figured out anything yet.
I just wanted to warn the people that you're a... I don't know what you are, man. Are you just a dumbass, or are you a fed?
this is getting carried away.
Don't
worry about it. I always expect better from Ricky, and I left a message from Skype that his earlier call, he did a really good job and made some really valid points.
I yield.
But Ricky always gets a lot of venom in this late hour. Just for reference, Ricky, those people on the left, they happen to do a lot better research than you do.
Buddy, we have caught you. We have caught you.
You haven't caught anything, Ricky. And if you shut your mouth for a minute, I will actually give you evidence that you haven't figured out anything.
All right, cool. I yield.
I became aware of the accusations made by one website about John Durash and the association with the name John Vidurek, and I couldn't establish any factual connection between their claims, so I went over and joined that website, which some of you may know as Fogbo. And
you know what? I yield, and I'm going to actually hang up from the call because we have already caught you. We know
you haven't caught
you. Are.
Ricky, the only thing you've got to hold up is yourself.
May as well go find another server. You know?
Ricky, the only thing you've got to hold up is yourself there. And while it may feel good, it's not accomplishing anything.
No, it's not.
Okay, gentlemen.
I love you, Jim, man. You know, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
You're not going to let me respond, Ricky?
And everybody else out there, here's the deal. You know, step over the line. You know? Step over the line. No more disinformation. No more agitation and...
Don't be like
the people.
Be like the people on the left. Don't anybody step out of line. Don't anybody disagree. Just do what John Durash says, and the Constitution be damned. Just so long as we all stick to the same story, we'll be fine. No drama. Everybody be a sheep. Don't anybody think on their own.
Guys, that's getting non-productive now,
and
I've been doing this long enough tonight, so...
I'm going to hang up.
I'm going to disconnect here. And Happy New Year to everybody.
Hey, Steve?
Yes?
Steve, you've got my phone number. Anytime, if you should want to talk to me for whatever reason, I would be happy to talk to you.
Okay, great. So this is it's been a wild ride tonight.
It sure has.
But thanks for everybody for participating.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Thank you all.
This is Julie from Mesa.
Julie.
Are you having a meeting tomorrow night, being Saturday?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm losing my battery here.
Okay.
Probably not, Julie. But if we do, I'll get an email out.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
Very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.